As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
PA and Charge.
Time for two more.
Paul Allen.
Football Feast.
What are you looking at, Beetle?
There's no such thing as stupid questions.
L. Football Feast.
Nine to noon radio production on a Friday, feasting with my main man, Paul Charchian from fanball.com, and I'm Paul Allen. Good morning. Nordo produces the Friday Football Feast, otherwise known as the Old Sports Soul Cafe. Welcome to the Fan.
I'm thinking of those days gone by now.
Just listen.
Some music in the air.
Just listen.
Just listen.
Life was good than it had me.
Football Feast.
Well, all they do is lose. Wild lost last night. Timberwolves lost last night. Wolves have another opportunity to lose tonight at New Orleans.
Twins lost.
Twins lost how?
Twins lost, well, just, you know, by virtue of being the Twins.
Well,
right,
come
now.
On. They're not even playing.
I know.
But
we're still a little bitter right now.
Meanwhile,
yeah,
back at the ranch, big Minnesota Vikings news has just emerged. The Vikings 2019 coaching staff has been solidified.
We've got all our coaches?
We have all the coaches. After an extenuous wait, the Minnesota Vikings just tweeted, and I'm sure all the proper constituents will be receiving background-related emails here very soon. But the Minnesota Vikings have solidified and finalized their 2019 coaching staff. Mr. Paul Charchian, the three newest names, the positions to be filled on which dedicated football fans like us have been waiting. It's the Friday Football Feast. We've been waiting for this minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week.
Mm.
The new special teams coordinator is Marwin Maloof. The new offensive line coach / run game coordinator is Rick Dennison.
Mm.
And the new wide receivers coach, but not new to the Covenant, he's been around, I believe, 6 years, is Drew Petzing. He will be the wide receivers coach. So to finalize the staff of a team that fully intends to make the mission Miami and have us do the Friday Football Feast at the Clevelander in glitzy South Beach in front of Super Bowl 54.
Yes.
And then with Nordo and Zach Brown, we can go wiggle our toes in the sand. Mike Zimmer is the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The coordinators, defensively, George Edwards. Offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski. Special teams coordinator, replacing Mike Prefer, Marwin Maloof. More on him momentarily. Rick Dennison, more on him momentarily.
Mm.
Offensive line coach and run game coordinator. Ryan Ficken is the assistant special teams coach. Jerry Gray, DB's coach. Jeff Howard, defensive assistant, assistant DB's. Andrew Janoco, who assisted not only Tony Sperano, but Clancy Barone, his offensive line coach last year. He remains as the assistant offensive line coach.
Notice that Clancy Barone does not remain.
We have no Clancy Barone on this list.
No.
From a strength and conditioning standpoint, the man they call Yui, Mark Uyama, head strength and conditioning. His assistants are Derek Keys, along with Chaz Molly. Okay. the Kubiaks.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak, assistant head coach, offensive advisor. Clint Kubiak, quarterback's coach. Brian Pariani is the tight end's coach. Your main man, Andre Patterson, defensive line coach.
Actually, kind of is my main man.
His assistant is my main hermano, Robert Rodriguez.
Mm.
Wide receivers coach is Drew Petzing. Running backs coach, Kennedy Polamalu. Defensive quality control is Nick Rollis. And Adam Zimmer is the linebackers coach. The mission to Miami, from a coaching standpoint, has been solidified. Come on! Now, let's win games. Your quarterback's in the Grand Cayman.
Is he? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad spot to be right now. It's negative, what is it, -8 right now? Something close to that?
You got that time, and you got that cash. You stay in the Grand Cayman for a month.
Well, yeah.
And if you have a grill on your deck, like I've seen he has via Twitter, then you get some of the locals, you get some of the islanders to run routes. So you're running in the sand to keep your conditioning, build up your calves.
Yeah.
And then you get some of the locals to run the routes as you throw the passes because your son Cooper is too little to catch passes. And you stay there for like a month. It Grand Cayman, doesn't that sound beautiful?
Oh. Well, now wait. Is it Cayman? Is he a Cayman, or did you say? Yeah, he's in Cayman.
Yeah,
that's the place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cayman.
It's the Caribbean.
Well, I don't want to go just anywhere in the Caribbean. Having
what
done
do
the Caribbean and several times with you,
how do you lose in the Caribbean?
You can lose in the Caribbean. There are some islands are better than others. Cayman is awesome. St. John's awesome.
Define awesome.
I want
They're
to
all
have
awesome with turquoise water and white sand.
No, some are better than others. Some beaches are better than others.
I like St. John, but it's small.
I want to be able to stay in a hotel that's chigger free.
That's what?
Chigger free.
Chigger free.
Yeah, I don't want chiggers.
What's that mean?
Add some
bugs.
Kind of bug.
It's a bed bug. Yeah. I don't want bed bugs, right? I want to be able to stay at it. I don't need to have a 4-star, 4 seasons deal, right? But at the same time, I don't want to be living below the poverty level. And frankly, especially with all the hurricanes over the past several years, there's a lot of the Caribbean that is below the poverty level.
Yeah.
That's not where I want to stay. That's not where Kirk's staying. I'm sure Kirk's doing just fine. And I wonder if Kirk had any input into any of this. I assume not, that they didn't go to Kirk and go, hey, Kirk, you know, do you care who our offensive line coach is? Do you care who the receivers coach is? Talk to me about old receivers coach. Outgoing receiver coach.
Daryl Hazel. Very nice gentleman.
All he did was turn Adam Thielen into one of the best success stories in the NFL, especially last year. All he did was take Stephon Diggs from a 4th-round pick mm-hmm. up to being a Pro Bowl quality player.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm a little surprised he's not back. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about his coaching, but just based on the results. Well, then there is Laquan Treadwell,
but,
I guess.
But if you don't know anything about the coaching, then you can't potentially be surprised.
Or
you can't. I mean, I have absolutely no idea why he's not the wide receivers coach. I know the replacement, Drew Petzing, is like Kevin Stefanski on the fast track to becoming an offensive coordinator in the National Football League. So maybe they were looking for room. The new special teams coordinator, Marwin Maloof.
Yes.
Most recently was the assistant special teams coach with the Miami Dolphins, 2013 to 2018. Special teams coordinator with the Indianapolis Colts in 2012. Got into the NFL via scouting with the Browns in 2004. Assistant special teams with the Baltimore Ravens, 2008 to 2011. Marwin Maloof. What do you think? What is his first piece of business when you start thinking personnel? Free agency and or draft.
Figure out who our kicker is. Hey, let's start there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have a kicker on roster right now. So, you know, Dan Bailey's a free agent. Also, pick a kicker who can make an extra point if it's not too much trouble. Mm-hmm. And can make a 38-yard field goal with the game on the line if it's mm-hmm. not too much trouble. So that first order of business is find your kicker, somebody you can coach up to make just requisite kicks. I mean, yeah. I don't need
what
you
if
to
it's hit Bailey? What if Bailey comes back?
I'd be fine with that.
Okay. Me too.
I wonder if Bailey wants to come back.
I can't answer that, but I am team Bailey.
I'd be fine with it. I don't know that you're going to do any better. I've actually got a list of available kickers if you're interested.
Later. We mentioned the wide receivers coach, Drew Petzing.
Yes.
Middlebury College, know Drew well. He's been on X's and O's with Mike Zimmer during the course of the 2018 season. He started coaching in the Ivy League at Harvard, coached outside linebackers at Yale, came into the NFL with Cleveland, working in operations, been with the Vikings since 2014, coaching assistant wide receivers, assistant quarterbacks. Now he's the wide receivers coach. with young Drew Petsing. First order of business this offseason with free agency and or the draft. What do you think?
I think first order of business is you sit down with Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer and you say, does Laquon Treadwell have a future on this team?
Right.
And or is he somebody that we're going to just cut outright? Let's remember Laquon was deactivated for the final couple of games at the end of last year. And so I think, you know, a top order of business is to decide, can I coach that guy up to be requisite of a player that we want to bring back and retain for his salary? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to let Laquon go and just, you know, just acknowledge the pick for what it was?
The February plan with the right to change it late Feb at the combine and change it again in front of the draft. As of right now, the official unofficial approach from yours truly is if they retain Aldrick Robinson, I'm fine with that as a fourth receiver. I would like the Vikings to draft in order, first three picks, offensive line, wide receiver, offensive line, or offensive line, wide receiver.
Mm.
Now, there was a Memphis wide receiver yours truly talked quite frequently about this time last year up to the draft named Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
I did not envision Anthony Miller.
Was it a first-round pick?
Well, he was second round.
All right.
Yeah, I did not envision him getting selected by the Bears where he did. But they were very crafty and very shrewd to do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had 7 or 8 touchdowns.
Turned out pretty good for the Bears.
Right. So,
yeah, week one starter.
I would like the Vikings to identify a game-changing wide receiver to work with Mr. Petsing. They get via the draft in round 2 or 3, and that becomes your complimentary receiver to Messrs. Thielen, Diggs, and if they bring back Aldrick Robinson.
What about Beebe, the guy that they had active at the end of the year?
Great point.
Do you feel like he is requisite of the sort of depth that you would like to have
at that
position?
Yes,
because
I think
that, you know, clearly the issue is not Diggs and Thielen.
The issue is
depth at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Do you believe he would be somebody that could play? You know, could he be a third receiver on this team?
All he did was move the chains when he was healthy and on the field.
I believe there is a place in the NFL for Chad Beebe as a wide receiver playing more than 5 snaps a game and also via special teams.
Okay.
So, yes, he would be part of that mix, but I still would like them to draft somebody relatively early. Now, depending on what happens with Sheldon Richardson from a defensive tackle standpoint, and certainly Anthony Barr. You know, free agency, the fan has learned free agency hits after the combine and before the draft.
Correct.
So if there are quick takers on those two defensive players, then that might change the early stages of the draft for me. However, from where I am now, with the right to change the opinion around the combine, during or after free agency and close to the draft, I am thinking offense very early in the draft. That includes 2 offensive linemen, maybe both who can play and play right now, and a wide receiver.
If you want an offensive lineman who can play now, you are usually talking about a second round pick. When you start getting into third, fourth round, it's a lot dicier. Not impossible, but it's a lot dicier. And I think most listeners would completely concur with the necessity for 2 offensive linemen in the first 3 picks.
Timber Tech constructs the set list 9 to noon. We are guest-free today. A lot of football conversation. Mix in some Wild and some Timberwolves. That's courtesy of Timber Tech and TimberTech.com. The new offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings is Rick Dennison. We will get into his resume and talk about the Vikings offensive line around the corner. But first, Nordo wants to put a grand in your hand.
I certainly do. National Cash Contest. You listen to the fan every hour. A new chance to put a grand in your hand. $1,000 in your pocket. That's got to feel good, right? Well, here's your shot. 9 a.m. keyword is super. Text the word super to 200-200. The keyword is super. Text it to 200-200. Text and data rates do apply. Programming on the Fan, brought to you in part by Quick Trip. And it's Free Movie Friday with Atom Tickets, our friends at Atom Tickets. It's the best app to book movie tickets. They want to hook you up with tickets to see the Lego Movie 2, the second part, in theaters today. Emmett and the gang are back to continue their adventure in space. Text the word PEN to Atom1. Again, that's PEN to Atom1. For your chance to win, standard text message and data rates do apply.
Hey, 9:20, 9 to noon, Friday Football Feast, FM 100.3 KFAM. Marwin Maloof is the new special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Mike Prefer, the previous special teams coordinator, now is with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, contract expired, right? Wasn't fired, but the Vikings chose not to bring him back.
Or he chose to leave, one of the two.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's possible, too.
Drew Petzing is the full-time wide receivers coach. And the offensive line coach is a Rick Dennison. Rick Dennison is the new offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Why we bring that up in a separate segment and go through his resume is, you know, for those of you who follow the program, for the obvious reasons, the at least in the opinion of the Friday Football Feast, despite what's transpiring potentially in free agency with good players like Sheldon Richardson and Anthony Barr, Charch's quarterback with the 4,000 yards and the 30 TDs being even better, some things that he has either said in print or on NFL Network within the last week, kind of certainly don't want to speak for Kirk, but him saying he needs to be better, he knows the areas he needs to be better. It's my belief the offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, who was his position coach, along with new offensive mind, Gary Kubiak, assisting, I believe they have a handle on what needs to go into to Cousins and improving in his second year with the Vikings. Despite all that, I think it would be fair to say for the dedicated fan and or the casual fan, the improvement of the Vikings offensive line would be the A topic. Wouldn't you agree?
For everybody.
Okay.
Yes.
And 3 weeks from today, 9 to noon, is in Indianapolis at the scouting combine.
It's amazing already. It's 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
We're going to be parking at the airport in Terminal 2.
Right.
On the rooftop.
At T2.
Yep. Glare ice over our cars.
Okay.
We're going to be taking a 4-hour delayed flight to Indianapolis.
We are going to be doing Rochambeau or rock, paper, scissors at the Indianapolis airport after multiple delays to see which one sticks around to late Friday or Saturday morning.
That's right.
Dealing with some motel that has, as you would say, jiggers. So Chiggers, thank you.
Yes.
That
was a shady hotel that we stayed in that one year.
It was ridiculous.
Remember that?
Yeah, Skittles for dinner.
Yeah.
that was, so that's 3 weeks from today. Our first combine show from Indianapolis is 20 days from today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings offensive line with Ben Lieber joining us at the combine this year, Ben being markedly more plugged into college football than are we, being an analyst for the Fox family calling college football games on a weekly basis, there will be a lot of talk about rookie offensive linemen, free agent offensive linemen, and stuff like that. And whomever the Minnesota Vikings opt to bring in, they will be coached by Rick Dennison, and the assistant is Andrew Janoco. Now, Dennison was a linebacker for the Denver Broncos 82-90. He was a badass. Rick Dennison was a very, very good football player. Started in the National Football League in the mid-90s as an offensive assistant with the Broncos from 95 to 2009. He was with the Denver Broncos coaching special teams, offensive line. He was their offensive coordinator for three seasons. And then he went to the Houston Texans 2010 to 2013. Following Gary Kubiak to be the offensive coordinator. Then he was with the Ravens as quarterbacks coach, 15 and 16, back to the Broncos as offensive coordinator. 2017, Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. 2018, New York Jets offensive line / run game coordinator. And now, with Gary Kubiak, he's the offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Dennison.
A little bit odd that he's on his sixth different team in 7 years. A lot of these teams have, you know, have had up and down success, but you know, a lot of times when you change coaching staffs, if you're a great coach, the team will endeavor to try to keep you through a head coaching change. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that necessarily here. Dennison is interesting in that he's connected closely to Kubiak. Kubiak was expected to be the offensive coordinator for Vic Fangio and the new Broncos offense. Fangio comes in there. And they've all but given the job to Kubiak.
Really?
But Kubiak says, this is according to a variety of media reports, by the way. Mm-hmm. So let me just say this is not, you know, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just going on media reports. Kubiak says, I'm keeping Dennison. Vic Fangio and other parts, I think, of the Broncos organization say, no, it's time to cut the cord on Dennison. And Kubiak walks.
Well, wait. You mean into this year?
Into this year.
Because it wouldn't be keeping Dennison. Dennison.
Well, bringing him with him. Yeah, keeping him with Kubiak.
Right.
Kubiak wanted to bring back Dennison.
Okay.
Fans didn't want him. Team didn't want him. Apparently, Fangio didn't want Dennison. And they were willing to let Kubiak walk over that deal.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, Kubiak knows more than the Broncos do on this. And that Dennison's ultimately going to be a positive for the biggest... He's carrying an enormous burden. Everybody knows this is the biggest area of emphasis for this offseason is the offensive line. He's our offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Has to get better. And it almost by definition will get better.
I think as of now, you can guarantee three individuals will start for the Minnesota Moving Company next year. Riley Reiff, Pat Elflein, second-year right tackle Brian O'Neill. I am not interested in moving O'Neill's position.
No.
So I have him sharpied in at right tackle.
So let me ask you this.
So sharpie for me, it ain't a pencil.
I think he's still raw. He hasn't played that position for very long. So I like you, I'm hesitant to potentially move him to left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
That said, traditionally your left tackle is your of the two tackles, your left tackle is the smaller guy with better footwork who can handle those speed rushers a little bit better. Your right tackle is more of your road grading tackle, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but typically. You know, O'Neill clearly is on the smaller side. He's a much better footwork guy in theory. I wonder if ultimately he isn't going to be better suited at left tackle. And if you're going to make that move, We're gonna blow up the offensive line anyway, and we're gonna bring a bunch of new bodies. Maybe you make the move now.
Well, if I believe Elflein is the starting center,
could he go to guard?
He could, but I don't want to do that because now if you potentially are going to have a new left guard, a new right guard, and maybe as 9 to noon has mentioned in passing the last 2 weeks or so,
yeah.
If they decide to move Riley Reiff to guard, which could be an option. Now, I don't necessarily want to change all of those positions. Like for O'Neill, you in essence would be filling a new position by moving him to a different position.
Yes.
So now he has to
relearn everything.
Right. But he has the entire offseason to do so. So, you know, for what it's worth, I have O'Neill locked in at right tackle. I have Elflein locked in at center. My intel 3 weeks in front of the combine indicates to me the draft for guards and centers is incredibly deep.
I think so, too. And here's where, and because if that's going to be the case, Paul, the reason I mentioned Elflein may be playing guard, the Vikings could be looking at a first-round center in the second round.
Right.
And decide, you know, we think Elflein can play guard.
Yeah.
And there's a center we're looking at who looks like he's great.
Yeah.
And we're gonna make that move. I think I
wouldn't eliminate that option. I would make it a long shot.
I agree with that.
I'm not making it a higher than 15% equation situation.
No, that's right.
But I think it's fair to look at it that way, specifically with the depth in the draft with guards and centers. So now it's the way I would look at it for what it's worth, certainly not speaking for the team. If in the first round at pick 18 or wherever you find an offensive tackle you feel can start at left tackle right now, that's when you consider moving Riley Reiff to left guard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Riley Reiff, I'm not an elite contractual mind, but top of the head, I'm pretty sure Reiff makes a fair amount of money requisite to what tackles make compared to what guards get paid.
He's a well-paid tackle. He would be an extraordinarily well-paid guard if we moved Riley Reiff to guard.
Right.
I think the reason it probably doesn't happen are that Reiff, I think, is likely left tackle for the two things you've already brought up. One is it's a good guard to draft, and I think we're more likely to just draft a guard than draft a left tackle. And then the second is, all right, if you do move him to guard and you don't draft a left tackle, now you got to go get a left tackle in free agency, and that's an incredibly expensive proposition.
Absolutely.
For a team that does not have the luxury of a lot of cap room.
Well, that's why if you were to look at certain players on the roster and deem restructure, I mean, it could be restructure or cut,
yeah,
you know, depending on what the dead money is and all of that boring stuff. But the Riley Reiff would be one of those names. It is specifically if you move him to guard. So now you get into this stage of Riley's career after playing a fair amount of years in Detroit. He comes to the Vikings, been here several years now, lives in South Dakota. Riley is a man of simple means. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think Riley in the offseason, seriously, lives in a tricked out trailer in South Dakota and is just very into the outdoors, very into the peace of the offseason and stuff like that.
That's great.
How much does it matter to Riley, quality of life, wanting to be here, close to where his family is and close to where he lives, and would he be willing to restructure if that were the case? So that would help you on the bottom line of the salary cap. Mm-hmm. There are other names too, including fellow offensive lineman Mike Remmers. You know, what does Dennison, Stefanski, Kubiak, Zimmer, and Spielman, what do they think of Mike Remmers?
Well, you know, outside of Andrew Sandejo, Mike Remmers is, in my mind, he's the most, or he's second most behind Sandejo, likely cut in this offseason to save his salary, which, by the way, $4.5 million this year and $17 million over the next 3 years.
See, from my standpoint, I don't think Remmers is a great offensive lineman. When Mike is healthy, there is room for him to play a lot of reps in the NFL. And I'm not necessarily saying starting every game or being for sure 100% the starter on a team that wins the Super Bowl. But we have to remember, with Kubiak and now Dennison, when you deep dive on rosters and personnel from some teams they've had that have either led the NFL in rushing and or passing, put up big amounts of fantasy yardage, and or won the Super Bowl, you have players up and down the line who were drafted in rounds 4, 5, 6, seven, maybe even undrafted.
Yeah.
Back to the, I was looking at the Houston Texans roster a couple of days ago from the year they had Arian Foster, who ran for a zillion, and Matt Schaub threw for a million. And they had this, I think their center was a guy named Chris Myers.
Yeah, that is correct.
From the University of Miami. And, and I can't remember where he was drafted, but it was no higher than the fourth round. So that gets us into the next stage of the conversation, which is combine worthy with Lieber when we get there. The essence of the zone blocking scheme, because that's what Kubiak and Dennison are known for. Mm-hmm. What goes into it? What type of player do you need? Is Remmers the type of player that you need to execute that successfully down by down?
Paul, the question is, really, is Mike Remmers worth $17 million to be that player?
I can't say that.
I think almost anybody would say, I'd love to have Mike Remmers as a backup in this league, because he can play guard, he can play tackle. It would be a luxury to have Remmers as a backup.
Right.
You're not paying $17 million for a backup, you know, utility lineman. And I think that's where Mike Remmers grades out, is as a backup utility lineman. And that's why I believe he will either restructure or be cut.
Yeah, so all of that plays into what the new offensive line coach, Rick Dennison, with his assistant, Andrew Janoco, who's been around with these players for years. So he provides intel on the current players that Dennison will not have.
Right.
And just how deeply they devote assets, time, and or maneuvers to the offensive line this offseason. Because, I mean, if you go into it thinking, we need a new left guard, we need a new right guard, and those guys have to be drafted, and they need to play right now. You know, because from the spot from which you come from a salary cap standpoint right now, when it comes to some of the names that I've seen available, I either think they're going to be way too expensive, or in the case of like a Roger Saffold for the LA Rams.
Yeah.
I've liked Roger since I believe he came out of Indiana with the St. Louis Rams. He was drafted as a tackle. He's moved to guard. I like Roger.
I do too.
But I'm not so in love with him that I want to give him a deal like Kelechi Osemele. You know, and the Vikings don't have the requisite assets to do that in the first place.
They just don't have the money, unfortunately.
So I think we're getting to things that need to transpire via the draft.
Yeah,
with Dennison as the offensive line coach. But then you also, so now you start to look at some players you had via depth, like Danny Isadora. I wouldn't be surprised if Danny wasn't around next year. This is a six-round guard who had multiple opportunities to jump into spots that were held by players who weren't necessarily playing great all the time, and he couldn't grab onto it.
Yeah.
So what does that say about him and his future? Likewise for the guy with whom we traded with Shermer, Brett Jones, the diminutive center who was the center when Elf line while we were waiting for Elf line.
Yeah, Jones and Easton and Compton are all free agents. And Rashad Hill, by the way, also free agents. I mean, all these depth guys that we've had to press into service, potentially all of them.
Yeah. Now, Easton's situation, I believe, was a neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
Those are tricky. When I look at the refurbishing of the offensive line, personally speaking, with all due respect, because I like Nick, I don't have him in the mix. So if there's a chance the general manager and the coaching staff look at this thing and they're like, we are blowing this bad boy up, and we need five or six new ones.
Yes.
Two who need to start, and they need to play now, and they need to help right now. And then two or three backups to replace a lot of the names we've discussed right now. Much more on that during the course of the show and walking up to the 2019 Indianapolis Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium. When we return, we mix in some Minnesota Wild conversation. It's 9 to noon.
I'm Kirk Cousins. This is the Friday Football Feast on The Fan. You like that.
Minnesota Wild lose 4-1 last night to the visiting Edmonton Oilers. I guess the White Horse has been retired after just one race. Jules Eriksson Ek with the only Wild goal makes it 2-1 before a power play tally and an empty netter for Edmonton finish things off. Wild still a wild card team, but five squads behind them are now within 4 points. They're winless in four straight out of the All-Star break. Back-to-back out east this weekend starting tomorrow with the nooner against the Devils. Then 2 p.m. on Sunday against the Islanders. Of course, we're your home for Wild hockey. You can hear it right here on The Fan. But back to last night, here's a portion of Bruce Boudreau's post-game press conference.
In between the second and third period, I said, "It's boys, your best players have got to be your best players or we're never going to win." And as simple as that.
That's kind of where you're at now, just trying to find and press the right buttons without Mikko, trying to find combinations that stick.
I mean, there's some guys there that just are shell of the players that I've known for 2.5 years.
No interpretation needed there. The coach isn't happy. Now back to the Friday feast. It's PA in charge.
9:43, Brian Heating and Cooling Studios.
Put names on that. Who do you think he was talking about?
I would guess.
It's got to be a veteran, right? Because you're talking about veterans, because you're talking about play shells of their former selves.
I would say Mikael Granlund. Mm-hmm. Who I believe has 2 goals. You had this stat yesterday, Nordo.
It's 2 in his last 38 games now.
Oh, jeez.
I definitely would say Mikael Granlund. I would also say, without disrespecting a cup-winning, fantastic career, I would guess Eric Staal is part of that. Now, that may be an erroneous guess, because Staal was playing, he was going great guns into the All-Star break and their bye. Since then, it's kind of been crickets. And I also might put our friend Jason Zucker in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, I can't remember how many goals he scored last year, but it was above 30.
Yeah.
And I think he has 14 right now.
Did he get paid?
So, yes, he got a deal in the offseason.
5 for 27.5.
So, let's start here. I know you are the Wild at this moment is not super compelling, not only to you. Like early in the week, we kind of we spent a couple of segments, 9 to noon, going through the vibeless nature of pro sports right now. It's like
in Minnesota.
Right. For vibes, there can be good vibrations, positive vibes, there can be negative vibes. Sadly, at this moment, we are kind of vibe free. It's like it's Vikings 8-7-1. Yeah, there are some things. There are definitely some things about which to be positive. 8-7-1 was negative. I don't have major negative vibes or positive vibes off the 2018 Vikings team. Timberwolves are close to 500. They're not going to make the playoffs. The expectations for them in the first place are not big. They fired their head coach. You got to have a 32-year-old interim right now. So it's that too for me is kind of vibe free.
Mm-hmm.
Twins, same thing.
Yeah,
and likewise for the Wild. I mean, the Wild is currently a playoff team with teams creeping up on them day by day, where they had a nifty little cushion there for a minute, but then they come out of the of that off time, that downtime of a week and change. They've lost 4 consecutive.
Yeah,
you know, and
Dallas, Chicago, Buffalo.
Right. Now, you know. Fairness and Wild Act. the Dallas team to whom they lost, Dallas had played and practiced up to that game. The Wild had not in a week and change. Per the collective bargaining agreement rules, you can't assemble the team until 2 p.m. the day before the game. So that was their first practice. Then they traveled that night. They were very sluggish early in that game, found their feet, made it interesting, lost. Then they come back the next day, which was Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They play the Blackhawks that evening.
Yeah.
Now, so this is two games with one practice in a week and change.
Okay, but they were also coming off All-Star break, right? I mean, you know, I appreciate the fact that they had to travel and lost sleep or whatever, but...
No, it has nothing to do with sleep. It has to do with the teams playing and or practicing to get their wind and get their legs, you know, as opposed to a team. I think this is a legitimate angle. Teams that don't play, they not only did they have the All-Star break, they had their bye. So they were gone for a week and change. I mean, Charlie Coyle was in Turks and Caicos before coming back for the first practice Thursday. So it's not major excuse.
I don't know. But it feels like an excuse.
If you watched the early stages of the game against Dallas,
mm-hmm.
Dallas having a game out of the All-Star break compared to the Wild, I mean, it was like the Wild at times trying to get those legs going.
Yeah.
If they were in quicksand. Then they got them going. And Saturday night, it was normal, and they lost in overtime. Dallas and Chicago, I believe, each have won five in a row. So they caught a couple of super hot teams. Then they go to Buffalo.
Buffalo's never super hot, Paul.
Buffalo has an immense amount of young talent. Mm-hmm. A couple of guys, one named Jack Eichel, the other from Eden Prairie High School, Casey Mittelstadt. Both very young, both very good. Buffalo, I'm not an elite Sabres mind. I'm not an elite Gilbert Perreault mind. But in reading up on the Sabres, then watching the entire game, Buffalo, if you played fantasy hockey, you would like Buffalo. You would like Edmonton.
Yeah.
They are offensively gifted teams that leave a lot to be desired in their zone, specifically when they're holding leads. So they get a point at Buffalo, but they lose the game in a shootout. So then yesterday for Whitehorse Radio, they have Edmonton in town. Edmonton had lost six consecutive or hadn't gotten 2 points in six consecutive.
15 of the last 20.
And Edmonton has two of the better players in the entire NHL.
Yeah.
Including Connor McDavid.
Who's awesome.
And they have Nordo's guy, Leon Draisaitl, who scored last night. He's fantastic. Very, very, for casual hockey fans, very under the radar kind of guy who's fantastic. We were doing Box in the Box yesterday, so we're deep diving on Edmonton. And if you looked at their goals, assists, and points totals, this McDavid and Draisaitl, I swear they have like 50 or 60% of everything they've done. So now we get into last night's game, and you heard that Boudreau quote, where he's talking about, paraphrasing, a couple of guys aren't who they've been since I've been here for 2.5 years.
Right.
You asked me to speculate who they were. I'm guessing Granlund, Staal, and Zucker would be three of those names. But Mikko Koivu, by the way, is lost for the season.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Koivu with an ACL. That is an awful, awful loss from a defensive standpoint when it comes to not only winning key faceoffs, but being the shutdown bit when the adversary has their Connor McDavid,
mm-hmm.
their whomever on the ice. Mikko's really good, very much a glue guy at that. So when Boudreau, when a head coach makes something public, basically saying, it's kind of like Zimmer late 2018 when he just incessantly was complaining about this running game, and then the offensive coordinator eventually got fired during the season. When you say some of our best players, I don't know who they are from the 2.5 years I've been here. It's my belief via my experience, situations like that go one of two ways. You either piss people off more so because they don't look like, and I watch all the games, man, they don't look like they're having fun. It just doesn't look like it's fun right now. You know, to be a highly compensated professional athlete doing what you've loved all of your life, it's supposed to be fun. It just doesn't look like it's fun for them. They clearly are pressing. So
do you think they're pressing? I didn't when I watched a good chunk of last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a team pressing. I saw a disinterested team. I didn't see a team that was trying too hard. I wish I could say that.
Well, I saw it looked like
a dispirited, lifeless team.
Well, Edmonton scored 3 minutes into the game,
right?
And in watching the initial stages after that, because it was a bad goal. It was that's the only way to put it. The guy, Darnell Nurse, who scored, Dubnyk has to stop that shot. There wasn't a great screen. It was a bad goal. It clearly was deflating to those playing for the Minnesota Wild. And it's tough for me to speak for the mindset of those guys, how they feel and what their reaction was, because I'm not in that locker room and I was not at the game. But it looked like one of those moments where somebody needed to remind everybody on the bench two things. One, guys, Mikko Koivu did not die. Okay, he eventually will be back, so let's get past that.
Next year.
And let's start playing. And secondly, that goal did not cost us the game. That's not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We still have 57 minutes or whatever, 56 and change, to catch this team, this non-playoff team, and win the game. And it didn't happen, and it never happened. And they got it to 2-1, and the White Horse got happy. And then it was 3-1, then the empty netter 4-1, and it was just a freaking buzzkill, man. So when a coach says something like that after a game, I'm curious to see which way it goes, because that is a very, very, when you direct a comment publicly to your best players and say, I don't know who, they're not the same guys from my 2.5 years here. That goes one of two ways, man. I think you know what I'm talking about
here. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, either the players respond and step up, or this ends up being one of the final gestures of a desperate coach. My feeling is, and again, not having, you know, when football season's on, I don't follow this team very closely at all. So mostly this is me picking up periods here and there over the course of January. You lose to Chicago, Buffalo, and Edmonton with all games these are worse teams than the Wild.
Yeah.
Materially, provably worse teams. You lose three in a row there, Paul. I just don't feel like there's a reason not to sell right now with key Wild players that have some tangible value. If that's a Stahl who's headed to free agency, so be it. I think that we have to look at rebuilding, because I don't see, you have trade deadline coming.
Yeah.
I don't see anything to suggest that a team that's going to lose three straight to that caliber of team is ready to do anything in the playoffs. I don't care that they have a playoff spot right now. What would make you think this team would win any more than a game in the playoffs? There's not a reason. I think you sell, and I think you restructure, and I think you start planning for almost bottoming out, figuring out who your long-term young key assets are going forward.
It's an interesting conversation, because now, granted, without Koivu, okay, when you have Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, Mikael Granlund, Jason Zucker, Jordan Greenway, you have some of the players this team has. And by the way, they've gone now a month and change to several months without their best scoring defenseman, Matt Dumba.
That's a huge loss.
Jared Spurgeon is super high-end. Jonas Brodin, I think, is a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot, and Dubnyk allegedly is one of the better goalies in the NHL. They have enough players to potentially win a series in the playoffs. All due respect to my favorite team, I can't say that they have the team to win the Stanley Cup. So now, if I'm the new GM or the head coach, with my sneaky conversations, my approach is, do we or do we not think we can win the Stanley Cup? If the answer is no, then I would be more leaning towards what you said.
And I don't know how you convince yourself they're going to win a series, except for the fact that the NHL's playoffs tend to be unpredictable.
Well, now granted, it was with Koivu, but I watched them beat the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better, I've seen them against some of the better teams in the NHL play them to the wire and win games. I've also seen them against crap teams that are out of the playoffs lose. So again, it plays
Paul Fenton
into
he's been on the job for what, Paul? 9 months?
First year, yeah.
Nine, something like that. He has no allegiance to any of these guys. He didn't put them on the roster.
Right.
You know? I think he should look at what appears to be a lifeless Wild team you have no reason to believe is going to make a surge through the playoffs and make some tough decisions now before the trade deadline. Let's do the opposite of what this team did for years. Let's go get picks instead of giving away picks at the trade deadline and trying to make a surge that never comes.
Feasting, PA in charge on the Feast, 955 Fan.
It's PA in charge on the Fan.
Valentine's Day is almost here. So go to our contest page at KFAN.com. Register for a chance to win a Diamond Drops of Light pendant and Love Your Melon Beanie. It's all thanks to Wedding Day Diamonds. Contest page, KFAN.com. It's like a dream come true.
If you missed the commencing of the Friday Football Feast, the Minnesota Vikings solidified their 2019 coaching staff with Marwan Maloof as the new special teams coordinator. Most recently was the assistant special teams coach for the Miami Dolphins, 2013 to 2018. Drew Petzing, who's been with the Minnesota Vikings since 2014. Drew, at one point, was the assistant wide receivers coach. Most recently, the assistant quarterbacks coach. Kind of became the makeshift quarterbacks coach when John DeFilippo was fired and Kevin Stefanski became the interim offensive coordinator. Drew now is the full-time wide receivers coach. And the offensive line coach is a man named Rick Dennison. Rick played in the NFL with the Denver Broncos from 82 to 90, started coaching in the NFL in 95, coaching as an offensive assistant with the Broncos, spent 95 to 2009. With the Denver Broncos coaching special teams, offensive line. He was the offensive coordinator, offensive line. Went to the Texans, Ravens, back to Denver, then to Buffalo. Most recently, our new offensive line coach, Rick Dennison, was the offensive line slash run game coordinator for the New York Jets. He now is the offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. His assistant is Andrew Janoco, who, like Drew Petzing, has been around for several years and is very well respected. So that the 2019 coaching staff is solidified into the offseason post Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Game and Senior Bowl. Now they're getting ready for the combine, then free agency, then the draft, organized team activities, mandatory mini camp, shut it down during July, and reconstruct the dream from Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center in August with 2019 Vikings training camp. From a Vikings veteran standpoint, you have compiled a list of not only notable free agents, not only names where you think they could be potential release candidates, and there are some relatively big names on here.
There are.
You also included in your Tolstoy bit of notes something about the backup quarterback situation for the Vikings.
Yep.
And what was it?
Well, it's basically this. And you and I talk.
It's a guy with whom you're infatuated.
There is a guy I'm infatuated with. Philosophically, yeah. As you know, because we talk about this every combine, and I talk about it with Spielman every combine, you should always have your next quarterback in-house, your next one, not the current starter, your next quarterback in-house. You should be grooming a guy who's ready to take over in case you have a Teddy Bridgewater-like injury, in case your starter doesn't work out. Whatever. You should be grooming the guy, the next guy, always. It's the most important position on the field. And the Vikings have never really done that under Rick Spielman. I want to see that change. Even though I do believe Kirk's going to work out just fine. And at the end of the day, we're going to be ultimately, while we'll have paid him a lot of money, we're going to understand that when we look back at this, we're going to say, we understand why we did it. We got 3 good years, whatever. Mm-hmm. We should be working on the next guy up. Now, a lot of listeners, because I bring this up on Twitter, think Kyle Sloter is that guy. Name me another undrafted quarterback who has played, had a reasonable starting career. Just a reasonable starting career.
I can't.
You can't, because it doesn't happen. These are plug-and-play guys.
Was Nick Mullins drafted? Now, this is a very, very small sample size for the 49ers. I had heard Nick's name, but I wasn't sure if he was drafted. But it was like, you know, they had your guy with the olive-shaped eyes and the high cheekbones, the guy you love better than
Garoppolo.
Brady. Garoppolo, thank you. Then they had C.J. Beathard, and C.J. was taken like middle of the draft, I believe, from Iowa, and C.J. was pretty good. But then after he took a physical L, here comes Nick Mullins.
Yeah.
I had heard the name, but I wasn't familiar with him. And then I watched a little of him. I'm like, damn, Nick can play a little bit.
Shanahan did a great job.
It was
him.
A very, very small sample size.
It is.
So it does not play into what your question was.
So the point is, even with Kirk here, Would it kill you to put a day two, a second round pick, a third round pick into a quarterback who you could potentially develop into a future starter? No matter what you think of Kirk, you know, if we believe offensive line should be the focus, and it should be. But I think working on your next quarterback should always be something that you should be working on as an organization.
One major thing here, if it's my belief for my football loving palate, if I believe that there may be a need for two offensive linemen for the Minnesota Moving Company for 2019.
Agreed.
And that they need to be drafted.
Agreed.
And this has nothing to do with the potential complete overhaul, refurbishing, or whatever. I'm just saying, if I believe, without identifying positions, there need to be two next year who are drafted, and they both need to be good.
Yeah.
That now gets into the dichotomy and dynamics of the offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, working with assistant head coach and offensive advisor, Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 18, I have to make it prohibitive. If we are Peace and Paul Allen Stats and Information Network, and we are laying out props for the position the Vikings selected 18, as of right now, I have offensive line minus 140.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe even higher.
Right.
And then, you know, then like defensive tackle three technique bit would be the next choice or whatever. So now you get into, what type of offensive lineman do Stefanski and Kubiak need, and where can you get them in the draft? Because if you don't believe you can go day three and get one of these guys who can help right now, then I'm negative on your quarterback idea day two. I have to go, like I said earlier, for my taste, offensive line, then we go to day two. Wide receiver, offensive line, or offensive line, wide receiver. So now we get into, now we're into the Saturday of the draft, and now you're
in crapshoot territory.
Well, now that quarterback situation, yeah. I mean, that's crapshoot terrorism, Birchie.
It is, and I don't like that. So, you know, I have no problem going offensive line, quarterback, offensive line, or offensive line, quarterback.
Okay,
no problem with that. And you know, and frankly, this defense, it's a star-studded defense anyway. We should be putting our efforts towards our offense anyhow.
Nick, you know, Brooks to Twitter, Case Keenum undrafted.
Case Keenum undrafted.
So that, I mean, that is an example.
Yep.
But it's like the example.
It's rare.
That's rare.
Tony Romo,
oh, yeah,
I think, was either undrafted or late pick. Kurt Warner. I mean, you know, it can happen.
Tony Romo, Eastern Illinois, though.
But, you know, for every guy you can come up with like a Tony Romo,
yeah,
there's 30 guys 100%. That, you know, 100 guys that were undrafted that never make an impact.
Absolutely agree.
I'm not knocking Kyle Sloter. I'm just saying it's not likely that he's a solution should anything happen to Kirk. Mm-hmm. We should be working on next guy up. Now, if we can't do that, Paul.
Okay.
If we're not going to solve this next quarterback up situation.
Okay.
Then we need to look to a savvy veteran, somebody who can take over for the Vikings, if something were to happen to Kirk gets hurt. Kirk's going to miss half a year.
Yeah.
Kirk blows out his knee in a late August practice, and suddenly you don't have a starter in week one.
Got you.
Somebody, some veteran that knows virtually every system, somebody who's been under center before, somebody who has a long, luxurious beard.
Like who?
Like Stu Beard. Yes. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Could you contain yourself on the exclusive Vikings Radio Network perch doing the feast at Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center if your beloved Stu Beard, A, was there, and B, what if he comes here like, hey, it's a new start. I'm shaving my beard.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. This is a Samson. Wasn't Samson the guy with the beard? Samson-like qualities of that beard. You can't do that. What I like about Fitzpatrick is he'll throw anything. He's very brave.
Mm-hmm.
He's not one of these guys that lets three interceptions in a game bother him, because he doesn't, and he's capable of doing that. And obviously smart enough to pick up any system that you want. He's played in a billion systems. And that's the kind of, if we're not going to groom the next guy up, I'd like to have a quarterback who started 40 games, and that's Ryan Fitzpatrick right there.
Let me hit you with a couple here, and we'll do it again in the or with different names in the final hour. Notable free agents. What do you think is next for running back Latavius Murray?
I think there's, I believe the Vikings will try to re-sign him. I think they like the fact that he knows the system. He's not a liability, not a fumbler.
But the question is, does he know the system? I mean,
that's a good point.
We new offensive coordinator now, with, right? And again, Stefanski can and will pull from Bevel, Musgrave, Turner, and Shurmur.
Yeah, which is nice. It's
great. Kubiak.
It's awfully nice for Kevin Stefanski that he's had the opportunity to learn from so many experienced offensive minds.
Yeah.
You know, you and I talk about Murray a lot. He is a great north-south runner. Yeah. Everything disappears as soon as you try to get him east-west. It's a play for a loss, and those things turn ugly. But Murray, I believe, just because of familiarity, the fact that he will give you good reps, mm-hmm. I believe they will try to bring him back, but it's going to have to be at a fraction of the salary that he was under last year.
Ooh.
And it may turn out very well that Murray's just got other options that pay him a lot more somewhere else.
You mentioned the name Laquan Treadwell.
Yes.
According to your notes, cap savings of $650,000 if he's released. Dead money hit $2.5 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the financial particulars to the side. With all due respect, because I'm fond of Laquan, I think he's a nice guy, I just don't see how they can move forward with him. I mean, of course we like Thielen and Diggs. Aldrick Robinson as a fourth or fifth receiver, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can work out the financials, you bring up the name Chad Beebe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe Chad Beebe can be active every week in the National Football League and get you first downs from the slot spot. And I'm a fan of drafting a very good wide receiver in round two or three. So now, along with the offensive line, we assist that skill position situation. You have Dalvin Cook who can catch it. You know, we can get into the tight end some other time. But then after that, remember last year at training camp, we loved undrafted Rock Thomas and Mike Boone.
I still do.
And you still have both of them. Now, they both have been active in games, and they've seen it for a year, build themselves up and naturally grow. They should be better.
See, that's why I don't think Murray comes back on anything other than close to veteran minimum, because I think they'd be perfectly happy with Thomas and Boone as the backup running backs.
What about Amir Abdullah?
Done. I think that was a stopgap bit right there, and that's it. What was your greatest Amir Abdullah memory as a Viking, or for that matter, as a Lion? Hey, it's just none. I don't have any either.
Right?
I don't think it's going to happen. And okay. Treadwell, Paul, I think you're right. Maybe Treadwell's going to go somewhere else and find success. I think the team is ready to be done.
Yeah.
Remember last year at the Combine?
Right.
Do you remember we talked? We caught, I think, maybe just a moment from Mike Zimmer of real honesty, and Mike will do that. He told us, Laquan, this is a make-or-break year for Laquan.
Yeah.
He's got to be a lot better. Laquan wasn't a lot better.
See, like with the mercurial, some would say enigmatic Cordarrelle Patterson, and even Zimmer, when talking about Cordarrelle at the end of the year, paraphrasing the head coach, he was like, New England is using him better than we did.
Yeah.
Okay, but the difference between Cordarrelle, first-round pick, Laquan, first-round pick, Cordarrelle, Super Bowl winner, one of the great kick returners. There are a couple of differences here. Cordarrelle, like if you're thinking about Laquan leaving and blowing up somewhere else, A, I don't think that's capable of happening.
I agree.
And Cordarrelle did not blow up with New England.
No, Oakland.
He was a good complementary player for mm-hmm. a Super Bowl team. The difference here is with Cordarrelle, you do have the kick return cred. So you have that. Why is he on the roster? One of the great kick returners in the history of the game. If somebody mishits one, then you have a good chance for him to get 30, 40, 50, or maybe to the house.
Yep.
Secondly, he is more physically gifted than Laquan.
For sure.
He's faster.
Yep.
He has more of a burst, more of a quick twitch. So stuff like that plays in his favor, where with Laquan, we just haven't seen it.
No, we haven't seen any of that. I thought, if we rewind the clock to draft day and Laquan Treadwell, I really thought that he could be a big-bodied, physical version of like an Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall, where he could, use the length and the size to beat cornerbacks, to extend plays, to break tackles, and we got none of that, Paul. He couldn't catch well. He couldn't break a tackle. He didn't have any speed to separate. The whole thing, it's unfortunately never come together, and I believe we'll be saving $650,000.
Cash call time, then more football conversation around the corner. Here's Nordo.
Indeed, National Cash Contest, a chance to put a grand in your hand simply by listening to The Fan every hour. And this hour's keyword is taxi. text TAXI to 200-200. Win $1,000 like Bob and Blaine or Ben and Andover or many of the other KFAN listeners that have put $1,000 in their pocket just by listening to The Fan. It is TAXI. Texted to 200-200. Text and data rates apply.
Holocaust from the land of the lost. Behold the pale horse, off course. Follow me, Wu-Tang gotta be the best thing since Starks and Clark Wallabies. African killer bees, Black Watch. On your radio, blowing out your watch.
Mystic Lake and The Fan want to send you and a guest to Player Up, the Midwest's amateur esports tournament. It's February 15th through the 17th. Charge is in love with this, by
I am,
the way.
Because it's amateur. It's, you know, it's one thing.
Yeah.
Say, I don't want to compete against pros, but if you and your buddies are playing League of Legends anyway,
well, yeah. You are a pro.
Why not go out to Player Up? Actually, I think they may have actually booked all of the actual tournament play for amateurs, but you can still go out and hang out and watch everybody play and just be part of the party.
Doesn't that sound great?
And that's what I got for you. Charge is pumped about it, and I'm sure you are too. You can win spectator passes to Player Up just by going to KFAN.com, keyword contest, or try to approach Charge on Twitter and shake him down for some.
Did you, over the last, let's say, week? Yeah, let's say week. We had Black Eyes Terrorism Sunday after the Super Bowl through Monday.
Right.
Caused me, maybe for the first time in the history of this radio show, PA and Dubé through now, to...
You missed a segment, right?
I missed a long segment. Yeah. I had Nardo go long in that open. You know, coming from Victoria after dropping your niece off at Holy Family.
Right.
Be that or some other things that have transpired with the Covenant. Did you have any ice or snow-related situations from the week?
Yeah, here's what happened to me, Paul.
Yes!
Tuesday night, I'm going to... We have Wednesday morning trash pickup. And the Wednesday morning, I mean it, it's like 6:50 in the morning. Ugh. They're doing the trash is getting picked up.
Right?
So you have to put it out Tuesday night. So... Go out Tuesday night. I'm going down the driveway, and I'm dragging behind me the trash can.
No.
Right? And the driveway, unbeknownst to me, it's all just sheer ice. And I did not know or appreciate that fact.
Yeah.
So I get out there. I'm pulling the garbage can behind me. Next thing I know, my feet are above my head, and I'm on my way down.
Oh, my heavens.
I land hard on the right, on my left side.
Birchie.
But wait, there's more. Garbage can lands on top of me.
Yes.
Lid flops open, garbage all over me.
I always love that one.
The best.
I'm laying on the ice. Yeah. I'm in pain, and I'm covered in garbage. That was Tuesday night.
And then you have to pick the garbage up, put it back in, and get the receptacle down to its proper spot.
Correct.
For those who watched the Timberwolves game last evening at Orlando.
I take the fall on the ice.
We don't have to share the result with you, because all we do is lose. All everybody does is lose. Whether it's Patino's team at home against the Badgers with that cheating player named Davison who tried to maim one of our players, whether it's the Wild against Edmonton, losers of six in a row, or the Timberwolves losing a spine tingler against bad Memphis and then losing again last night to Orlando. They'll probably lose again this evening to New Orleans. The Wolves game last night was akin to something through which the producer of 9 to Noon endured yesterday trying to get up a hill after Vox in the Box.
I always love that one.
You make progress, you get help, but not enough help, and eventually...
slide back.
You slide back like the Wolves did against Orlando last night.
Yeah.
Nardo!
What up?
You tell me. You're weak with either ice or snow. Let's begin with daycare. What happened outside of daycare?
Daycare 2 days ago, I think. Yeah, it was snow related, maybe 2 days ago. It was they're taking care of our kids. So when you're getting 4 to 5 inches of snow, it kind of hides that curb.
Yeah.
So
it was a curb.
It was kicking the lip of the curb through the snow,
and then you're down
with left foot. Right foot slips backwards because right foot is anticipating left foot to take the load of the guy that gets on the scale and is at least two and a hook.
Come on.
And I went in front of 3 to 4 fellow parents in spectating fashion, just full on face plant onto the sidewalk at the daycare.
I always love that one.
Were you injured?
Were you holding any babies at the time?
So I got a couple of scratches on my palms.
Battle wound.
Cat-like reflexes, you know, kept the fat producer from fully going face to concrete.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm fine.
Was it funny?
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious so after the fact.
So if you watch that happen to somebody else, would you laugh?
First thing would be like, hey, are you okay? Second thing would be I'd actually, instead of going in to get my kids, I'd go back in my car so I could laugh for 5 minutes, calm down, and then come in. It would be incredible.
If you're at Church's house and there's a gathering,
yeah,
and for whatever the reason, somebody other than he or his wife or his daughter are using the dishwasher.
Yeah, by the way, who uses the dishwasher at a party?
Yeah, right.
Dishwasher's a silent killer.
Okay.
You know, you can laugh all you want. That thing's out for blood.
Okay, but see, when you shared the story 9 to noon,
yes,
the thing we didn't bring up, which I still don't understand, is you claim you, your wife, or your daughter did not open the dishwasher.
No,
uses somebody else's dishwasher at their house?
No. If there's misunderstanding, I believe my wife, it was the one who opened the dishwasher.
Oh, of course she was.
I just don't blame her. I think the way you brought it up, the way you was suggesting, is I should have blamed her for the whole thing.
Absolutely.
No.
She left it open with a bunch of people there.
Yeah, but it's a big party and there was a lot of stuff that we needed to load in dishes into the dishwasher, and she was busy trying to do that, and I understand that.
And you didn't see it, and what happened?
So I did not know that she'd opened it. I'm facing you, Paul, at this party.
Backing up.
Me is the dishwasher.
Sweet.
And I actually took from you a plate or whatever.
Yeah.
And I took a couple of steps backwards because I'm actually going to load it into the dishwasher. But
yes.
I don't know the dishwasher's open.
Yes.
Down I go into the lower rack of the dishwasher filled with plates, forks, pots, pans, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Then, on top of all that, here comes, and it hurt. So, I mean, I fell full force, all my weight, into this thing.
Did anybody
broken
laugh?
Broken plates. Actually, no. I think they were worried about me.
Wow.
And I hit it hard enough that the whole thing, the whole dishwashing unit, came out of its moorings, and now it's tilted down, and here comes the upper rack to hit me in the head, just to add a little insult to injury.
Okay.
On top of everything else.
Now, Nordo.
And by the way, still, this is November. My elbow still isn't right. Even now.
Nordo.
Silent killer, your dishwasher.
So if we are at that gathering.
Yes.
And we see that happen to Paul, do we laugh?
Of course we do.
Okay, now, but you can't laugh right there.
No, you gotta chill for about 30 seconds.
No, there's no chilling. There's immediately leaving the room.
Oh, yeah.
To go into the garage or a pantry or a laundry room or a bathroom. And then put your face in your palms and go, oh, my God.
What happened?
And then just visually and mentally relive it and just get the laughter out so that when you come out, you can faint. Because you know he didn't die.
Right.
So,
it's the slow motion look on his face.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the terror in his eyes.
And the oohs and the ahs.
I had no idea what was happening while I'm midair.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on at that point.
Nothing good.
If I'm at daycare and I see you go down or you see me go down, I now immediately have to run and duck behind a car so I can get the giggles out.
I am never inviting either one of you to my house, ever.
Okay, now wait a second. So you're telling me if you see one of us, specifically me, misjudge a curb because it's covered by snow, and I fall face first, but I'm not injured. No tooth chipping.
But
no,
I don't know that.
You're not going to laugh.
Well,
bull crap.
Because I don't revel in your pain.
In a span.
No, I'm not going to laugh at you.
Revel in the embarrassment of it.
I would be the guy that helps you to your feet, Paul.
Oh.
That puts ointment on your wounds.
Wow.
That's the kind of guy that I am.
No, in a span of 3 seconds, when I hit the curb and I go, whoa, and I just slam onto the concrete, and then I immediately pop up and the entire front of my body is covered in snow.
And moms are like, are you okay?
And I have this weird compensating smile on my face because I'm just mortified with what happened. And now I got to walk in soaking wet and pick up my kids and answer those big questions to
the
3-year-olds.
Awesome. Yeah.
You would laugh your ass off because I'm not dead.
But,
I didn't die. There's no blood.
But I can't laugh right there in front of the other people.
No, you got. You're an adult about it.
I gotta go hide behind a car. I gotta duck for 30 seconds. I just gotta duck behind a car and go. Oh my God! Deep breaths, and I gotta get it out.
It's moments like that why the kids always have the cell phones out.
I brought this out. I brought this up before, and bring it from your hearts. Okay, don't frame it up to be Mother Teresa. If I'm in the refrigerator. And somebody opens the freezer, say it goes left, right.
Yeah.
It's not an underneath slide out freezer.
I have a thing on that as well, but we'll come to that later.
And I don't know it's open, and I get up from the refrigerator looking for whatever in the depths of the refrigerator, and I hit my head as I'm getting up. Tell me you're not laughing.
No, I'm not laughing.
Oh, hell yeah. What the crap?
That hurts. Oh, that hurts. God. I have way too much empathy for that.
Right, but I'm not hurting. We're not hurting our necks. And then now you get to watch me rub it.
Yeah.
And I'm like pushing on it, going, oh God, oh my God. That's when you have to relocate to another room and you have to go. Yeah.
You two are grade A asses. That's what I've learned over the course of this segment.
We are not. We're normal.
You know, I fall down on the ice, you think it's funny. I fall into the dishwasher, you think it's funny. That's, you know, I think I've learned a lot about a lot about what makes you two tick that I just
did. Nothing better than a good ice fall.
An ice fall is different the way he described it, because I mean, if it's slip on banana peel terrorism and your neck hits the wrong way,
now you've
cracked open your skull. But can't we at least chuckle till we potentially see blood?
If I'm dying on the ice, then you might try to. You might not laugh at me.
No, but if you find your bearings, okay. Ow, that hurts. And then you get up and you're walking like you got a dirty diaper on, or you've been riding a horse for 8 hours because your tailbone's really sore.
Yeah,
I'm going to laugh my ass off. I don't want you to hit your head. Brace for the fall. It's coming, and it's coming quick.
Sometimes, and especially on the ice, there's no bracing. All of a sudden, you are feet overhead.
Oh, it's awful.
And you don't know.
Yeah.
You analyze the damage, then you laugh hysterically.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Yeah.
The whole problem is that you guys think there's time to analyze.
If something
is funny you're going to laugh spontaneously right then.
No.
You're not going to analyze it first and then decide, after analyzing this and applying the Pythagorean theorem, I think that this is funny. Ha, ha, ha.
No, common sense judgment.
No.
Yes, there is. When I was on my way to work today and this vehicle was driving in the right lane, I'm in the left lane, and they started fishtailing and they went into the ditch.
That's horrible.
I didn't laugh.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at
because that's awful. That person is having the worst, is about to have the worst day they've had in 2 years. Trying to fish that car out of the ditch. That sucks.
God.
Correct. Falling into the dishwasher is not the worst day I've had in 2 years?
It's hilarious.
But it's awesome, though. It's hilarious.
It's not like a knife went through you like you're in From Dusk Till Dawn with Harvey Keitel, and they're trying to kill the vampires in the Mexican bar. It's not like that.
If that's the worst day you've had in 2 years, then everybody wants your life.
I have a good life. Twitter follower MJ says that in the movie Garden State, the mom died falling into the dishwasher.
Oh, God.
See, this is, I mean, you know,
you're a fraud.
Well, now we got a banned dishwasher.
You can't use that. You cannot use that example as creed when you spend a majority of the previous segment saying, hey, look at the lack of undrafted quarterbacks to ever make a difference in the National Football League. It just never happens.
Right.
We have to take one day one or day two. That is an anomaly, one succeeding, just like it's an anomaly somebody falling into a dishwasher and dying. It's an anomaly.
Well, no, it's not. I'm not saying it happens all the time, but it is absolutely a dangerous threat that's in everybody's household that you need to be aware of. And it's not funny when some poor guy falls onto the forks.
No,
that's not funny.
What's funny about it is somebody's wife setting it up so she can giggle.
That's correct.
And then playing
off
like,
sabotage.
You got sabotage.
Your own family's against you.
So now you think my wife did it deliberately.
It's because
she quietly opened the dishwasher behind me.
It's because of the noises you make.
Mm.
And because you're an entrepreneur. Okay? You are so calculated and so controlled that when you can put fatigue on the indefatigable, that draws a reaction, and that reaction is that of hilarity.
Okay. At my expense.
Now, in closing, as the week would go through everything we've discussed, Nordo.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about you departing XL Energy Center yesterday? And what happened to your car due to the snow?
I'm looking forward to laughing.
Kellogg Boulevard, leaving the X, going up the hill towards where you can jump on 94. I got stuck behind a vehicle that didn't decide whether they wanted to go through the yellow.
So the slight incline is you cross West 7th.
Yes.
And you're heading, you're
heading up that hill. Car kind of sticks me at a stoplight because they're about to go, oh, we're going to stop at this light. Nope, we're going to speed right on through. So I had to hit on the brakes. Then I started going again, got stuck.
What?
How'd you get stuck?
Hill.
Where?
Well, how'd you get stuck? I went up the same hill, stopped multiple times, and had no problem in the Genesis.
Yeah, it's front-wheel drive.
I always love that
related terrorism with 200 pounds of radio equipment in the back. And
you got two-wheel drive?
Yeah, I got two-wheel drive.
Well, that's what got me on Monday, was two-wheel drive coming from Holy Family, slight incline on a country road. Front-wheel drive guy, can't be mad at him. He gets stopped on a slight incline, goes to spinning, so the car is supposed to be facing east-west.
Yeah.
Now it's north-south, so I look to the left, can't go that, can't cheat that way oncoming traffic. Now let's go to the right, cheat on the shoulder, can't. Couple of nice Minnesotans pulled off on the shoulder to help. Problem is, it took 20 minutes because it was so slick, as they tried to push his car, their feet were slipping.
Now, are you sure it was front-wheel drive, not rear-wheel drive?
Maybe.
Rear-wheel is the one you don't want in Minnesota.
Two-wheel drive terrorism.
Front-wheel's usually fine in those situations.
Well, the key to what I did is I did not just pound on it until I was sideways on Kellogg. I got over to the left into a turn lane, put the flashers on, tried to find some powder for a little bit of grip.
Yeah.
Didn't work. A couple of good Samaritans got out of their cars. And I'm sitting with the door open. I got the left leg out, just trying to kick my way, looking like an a-hole.
How mad are you?
Oh, just red. Just redder than Boudreaux when he's pissed that the people are a shell of them former selves 2.5 years ago. I was madder than Boudreaux after the post game yesterday.
I would have laughed at that.
Oh,
why am I bad if I had seen it and been watching it from 20 yards away? Why am I, as you would say, an a-hole? For watching whole thing and laughing.
Here's why. What did Minnesotans do when Nordo got stuck in the snow? They pulled over and helped him push.
Yeah,
what did they do for the east-west guy in your scenario? They got out and helped him push.
Yeah.
What do? You go Nelson from Simpsons.
Come
you
on.
Point laugh.
Well, my favorite quote about...
No, not Monday, I didn't.
My favorite quote of him telling this story, by the way, is he's like, well... I mean, I was three or four cars back, so I figured, I didn't have to get out and get out and help.
A lot of things go through your mind when that's happening.
Let me tell you this.
Like, one of the first things was, why do you have two-wheel drive? And you know the roads are like this and you're on the road. But I can't think that way because people got to get from A to Z.
Most typical sedans have two-wheel drive, PA.
Well, yeah, either front or rear. You really don't want rear.
One way or the other.
Front's usually good enough because the weight of your car, the engine, is on the front. So the front-wheel drive's fine. Now, if we lived in New Jersey, Nordo would still be there. Or somebody would have hijacked your car, taken the wheels off. I don't know. But,
I would have gotten robbed.
You probably would have gotten robbed right then because you can't get away.
Wait.
That's the beauty of Minnesota
there. How mad were you?
Oh, so pissed off. It's the worst, man. You're just sitting there watching cars and everybody's eyes are on you as they drive by.
Now, if that was happening to me, wouldn't you say, God, I wish I had seen that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, if I stumble on the curb and here I am and I'm fine, maybe my elbow hurts or my knee or I got scrapes on my palm.
God, I wish I would have seen that.
Wouldn't you have seen?
Of course.
So you could go duck behind the car and laugh and
ultimately,
giggle.
We don't want people to get hurt.
Right.
But we can laugh at inconveniences. And that's what that was. It was a very, very frustrating inconvenience.
Feasting on the Fam.
You're listening to PA in Charge. It's a Friday football feast, 9 to noon on the Fan.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
PA and Charge.
Damn, who knew?
Football Feast.
The things we've been through.
standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the
not much else to say.
WP to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox booth at KFAN.com.
WP?
Yep, WP.
That's somebody's initials?
Those are the initials.
All right. What's turned into the initials game right now?
It's all fun and games until you fall, falling on the ice. It's all fun and games until you fall and fracture two vertebrae.
Correct.
That's what he did. Compression fractures, no fun.
Yep.
But it was probably hilarious.
Yeah, and you—that's right. You and Ordo would have pointed and laughed.
No, you're
yes,
not.
You would have.
You're not getting the essence of how you handle situations like this.
If someone falls and does not get up,
yeah.
No laughter.
Yeah, we
now
know,
we got to check on.
We know within 10 or 15 seconds. Whether something has gone dramatically pear-shaped.
Now, wait. Well, when you go to a comedy club, you two, and the comedian tells a joke, it's Cy Amundsen, and he gives you the punchline, do you wait 10 to 15 seconds to assess everything, or do you spontaneously laugh?
You spontaneously laugh.
Correct. When this guy goes down, shattering two vertebrae, you two, spontaneous laughter.
No. The first reaction is shock because you can't believe that something like that happened in front of you.
Yeah.
And you're hoping for that person to get up as quickly as possible so you can laugh your ass off.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if they're laying there groaning, there's tears, there's super negativity, or they're not moving, which is worst case scenario.
Now there's no laughter ever.
Now you're finding your cell phone to maybe call for help.
Paul, we
check the person out.
We've known each other 20 years.
Yes.
You know me above everybody. I'm obsessed with reaction. Okay? I am, and that's forget the side swiping, the side poking. Trying to get somebody, sneak up on somebody, gently poke them in the sides, startle them, and preferably get them to hit their knees on the bottom of a table.
That happens.
Right.
That's a thing. Trust me.
But it's a reaction. It's the, and see, now I've pulled back from that, and I've kind of morphed the bit into just quietly walking up. Somebody's doing whatever they're doing, and it's without yelling or anything. It's just, hey, are you having a nice day? And just watching the startle, the jump, the bit. So if that is my thing, if I'm obsessed with that, how am I not for at least 2 seconds going to watch you topple on ice with trash falling on you?
That's right.
And not have to turn my face and cover my mouth until I figure out you're okay.
You would. You would. That's my point. When you see me go down, the trash can falls on me, the lid flies open.
But you're going to be
offended?
And
my own trash is covering me.
Yeah.
You are going to laugh.
You are not.
Instantly.
See, my bit that I'm running now, it might be foolproof. Just, again, walking up behind somebody, somebody with whom I work, friend or whatever, and just, hey, having a nice day? And just... What did I do wrong? There was no touching. I didn't yell. I'm just merely asking somebody if they're having a nice day.
Paul, you've touched me today.
It was accidental.
No, that was not accidental.
It was accidental. Meat's also trying to get down the hall. He was taking up all the space and he bumped me into you.
No. That's you got under one.
That's
you got under two of my three layers of shirt today.
But that's you. That's different.
You got to second base in the Score studio earlier today.
If I'm obsessed with startling, then how am I not going to see old paper towels, old lean cuisine, whatever things falling on you?
Yes,
and not at least giggle for 5 seconds.
You would,
with you not being offended at it.
I know you would giggle. We agree.
So I fall, and you're going to run up like, "Oh my God, are you okay, Paul?"
I would tend to your wounds. I would be worried for your health first and foremost, Paul, because I care.
Okay.
That's how much I care.
Okay.
You wouldn't understand that.
Speaking of being concerned about wounds, Rob Gronkowski, tight end for the New England Patriots, has had myriad wounds during his career.
Yeah.
And he also was a major contributor to Super Bowl 53. For it was beloved Gronk who caught that pass inside the five that paved the way to Sony. Oh, by the way, we owe you money. Paved the way to... Nordo, we owe charge money.
Yeah, you do.
Paved the way to Sony Michel's touchdown, the only touchdown in Super Bowl 53.
Correct.
Rob Gronkowski and his future, your thoughts?
I think he'll retire. He did not look like the same guy.
You $100?
Minus 20, technically, because I owed you 20 from our preseason bet.
I only owe you 80?
Yeah, only 80.
Oh, if, sweet.
I think if Rob Gronkowski's done, Paul, I think we're going to look back and it's going to feel... almost like a Hall of Fame career. He will have caught 521 receptions, almost 8,000 yards, and 79 touchdowns. That's just the regular season. In the playoffs,
yeah,
he played so many games in the playoffs, he put up effectively a whole other season in the playoffs.
GIF or JIF?
JIF. Tony, I like GIF. JIF is the peanut butter with a J.
Tony Horning, GIF. Brett John Bryan inbox, booth at KFAN.com.
Yes.
He would watch a GIF of Charge's trash can fall all day.
All day long. It would be, if only somebody had recorded
I'd use a vacation
put
day.
On a loop.
Just to watch it.
Correct.
Just to soak it in.
And he'd laugh. And at least he acknowledges he'd laugh.
With that full head of hair just flopping up in the air as he hits the turf.
I know. You go down with class, though, because your hair looks good.
Well, that is true.
So, Gronk.
Thank you, Hair Restoration Institute, for that. Gronk, I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a borderline Hall of Fame career when we look back at it. But I don't know that he necessarily gets in. It's going to be close because he's not going to have the full kind of length that some other tight ends have that we traditionally think of as Super Bowl guys. Antonio Gates is going to end up with better numbers, and he'd probably get in first before Gronk would. But it just feels like Gronk's priorities in life are so many things that aren't on the field, right? Yeah. I think it's parties and porn stars and quasi-acting, maybe in porn. I don't know. It just seems like football does not seem to be the top priority for Rob Gronkowski anymore.
When it's in play, and like, you know, the stakes obviously have been raised, I think it's his number one priority during the season.
Yeah.
And I think he probably does enough to keep his battered body in shape or ready for the next season. But I think there's probably so much maintenance that goes into this thing now. But unless I misread this, I think that there is something in his back that is recurring and so bad that, like, I looked at it like, well, it's 95% he retires and he's done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if this thing's been bad and it's cost him games, but if it really gets bad,
for sure,
it cost him life. Not death, but, like, quality of life the rest of his life.
Yeah. And, you know, back injuries aren't trivial, Paul. And there a lot of times there's no full recovery.
Especially after you slip on the driveway and have trash fall on you.
Yeah, and that's right. And then your dear friends point and laugh.
Yeah.
That's all. It is a serious issue. Now,
hold on. If Chart slipped and fell and the trash fell on him,
yeah,
and he showed up to the feast in a walking boot, do we laugh or do we not laugh?
It depends on the situation regarding the ankle or shin or, you know.
It's a walking boot. It's not a cast.
Again, you're going to try to do an assessment to decide whether or not you're going to laugh.
No,
that's just not realistic.
That's what you do. Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I mean, something's funny or it's not funny.
No,
you don't sit and assess and then decide quantitatively, will I laugh?
No, there are 50 shades of gray to this, much like your personal life. And the thing with this
it has to do with the individual. You know, if Common slips, I don't laugh. If Chris Hockey slips, I don't laugh. If Barrero or Abbott slip, I laugh.
Exactly.
And I can't even explain why.
And if you're just hobbled in here with your walking boot and we don't say, okay, well, that's, I can't believe it. And, you know, trash, you ruined your new jacket and all of that. When you leave, then when PA and I are doing the post-show chill in the score, we chuckle a little bit.
Yeah.
And we feel bad for you. Ultimately, we care about you. We don't want you to be hurt, but it's like,
Now,
better put some salt on the walk there, Charge.
I don't think the walking boot is inherently funny. What is inherently funny are like the full below the waist immobilizing casts.
No, that's not funny.
That is funnier.
No, because that's not funny because now all of a sudden everything with your life is compromised.
Correct.
And emphasis on the word everything.
Everything.
When you're talking about full body cast from the waist down.
Do they drill like a hole in the front? How do they do that?
That's not funny.
I never thought about that.
See, you're morbid.
No. Yeah.
I mean, you fancy, you go, you shade the way of the macabre.
Yeah.
We're just looking for a cheap thrill.
Yeah, I'm just picturing you with a slight limp, and that makes me laugh. I just want a slight limp. I don't want paralysis.
I just want to hear the noises go into your elbow hitting the driveway.
Yeah, well, you should have heard the elbow hitting the dishwasher. Oh, absolutely.
I want to hear the That's all I want to hear.
And then, the hand up, just reaching, please, somebody help me.
No, the initial roll of the,
There was some of that.
Yeah.
There was some groaning involved, I can assure you.
What were the noises?
Well, I'm not.
Can you recreate
that? No, I really can't recreate the noise I make after I slip on the ice and the garbage can falls on my head.
You're the best. You also have to understand that when those of prestige, or you're a three-spot HOF, okay? So therefore, when the king is disrobed, there is going to be giggling. If the pauper is disrobed, he gets thrown in jail for indecent exposure.
Correct. Right.
When the king is disrobed, it causes giggles. That's why. Can you recreate the noises you made?
No, I'm not. You really can't. I mean,
Did you roll over and moan?
There was groaning, though. I can assure you, there was groaning. Ooh. Deep man groaning.
Nordo, when you fell, did you moan?
Yeah, I went, oh.
You know what? If you two never make these sounds again on the air, I think everybody would appreciate it.
All right.
You two have ended up on the Power Trip button bar.
It's the soundtrack to your life, Charge.
We'll be right back.
It's PA and Charge on the Fan.
Fellow animal lovers and their dogs at Animal Humane Society's Whisker World Gala, February 16th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Enjoy cocktails, a seated dinner, fundraising activities, and more. Learn about this very special evening at animalhumanesociety.org/whiskerworld.
In closing, just to clarify, the giggling and FIFA Fairness and Falling Act. If it happens to a woman, none of us are giggling.
That's correct. Yes,
that's a damsel in distress.
Indeed.
Yeah, so, I think you're right about.
So that's not happened. Now, if it happens to you, or Abbott, or Barrero, or Meat Sauce, or a handful of people with whom we work here, then we're probably going to giggle.
Yeah, a little bit.
But if it happens to a woman, there is no giggling. That is a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
No matter if it's falling over a dishwasher, hitting the top of your head on an unsuspecting opened freezer door, slipping on ice and having trash fall on you, misjudging a curb due to snow, or having a two-wheel drive car not be able to negotiate the incline that is Kellogg.
Why?
There's no giggling at that.
Why are you anti-woman? Why are you anti-equal rights?
What do you mean?
You know, if you can laugh at a man, you can laugh at a woman, right? We're
chivalry.
Supposed to be equal.
Chivalry.
You know.
It's a damsel in distress.
Uh-huh.
So there's still a certain amount of respect.
Yeah.
I mean, we want them to get the same paychecks, okay? But we don't want to see them taking the physical L's.
Thank you.
What about
that we find so funny when guys do it.
What about an older man? A man who's... He was of an age.
Elderly or off limits. Come on, man. Again, it's all common sense dictation here.
Well, maybe in your mind, what counts as your common sense, frankly, your common sense frightens me. I think.
Wow. A great bookender to the week where we surprise you on Tuesday and call you to congratulate you. Like when I went to book Charge Monday for the 902, he kind of had a sneaky idea what I was doing. Like, So, you know, like every time I text Charge, 902, one segment, any chance, he'll always write back in ISDN. In, call me on my cell.
Yep.
This time he writes back about what?
Right.
I'm like, come on. So I had to lie. Super Bowl, you winning our props bet. But see, then I put in and miscellaneous. So now if he really was going to push me on what's miscellaneous, then I was going to lie and say Rob Gronkowski's back.
Yeah. I did not know.
You know what? On Friday after the show, you know, two feelings emerged. The first one was maybe we took the ball gag thing a little bit too far.
Right.
Then the second one was, as we're cruising through social media, we're like, what? Charch is being inducted into the Fantasy Sports Hall of Fame? And the bastard never even told us?
Yeah.
And so we were annoyed with that.
So we don't even know how you knew that.
We
but.
Can't say. I didn't learn it.
We have sources, okay?
I did not learn it via social media.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
All right.
Okay, so, but we uncovered it right after the show.
Yeah.
And then it was like, why didn't he tell us about this? Okay, I understand that, you know, bashful, you know, we understand.
The definition of humility.
But so we bum rush you / surprise you Tuesday and congratulate you on your Fantasy Sports Writers Association, HOF.
Because we care about you.
And it's well deserved. But see, then at the end of the conversation, you almost ruined it when you made fun of when I'm congratulating you for winning 100 from yours truly and winning 100 from Nordo.
Right.
But then you were like, Nordo, I feel bad. Nordo's destitute.
Right.
Lives in a split level. Doesn't have a proper car to get up an incline.
Right. Split level trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're now.
It's
so
a
now,
double wide.
So now that's at the end of the first segment. I got 8 more segments with him and he's pissed off.
Yeah. Ruined my day.
Great. So then now I have to have the motivational conversation between segments 1 and 2 just to execute my toil.
Right.
So now from that through where we are now, you tearing down Nordo about his common sense or lack thereof, or whatever you said, it's a perfect common thread bookender to the week.
It is a good way to end it.
Paul Charchian with 9 to noon.
Indeed.
Why do you look down on the producer the
I don't,
way you do?
I just want to make sure his babies get fed. And frankly, I think, you know.
I had to tell him he was doing a good job on the radio so everybody could hear, because he is.
He does a great job.
His face changed in a way where I knew I lost him the rest of the show.
It was over?
I was out of it.
Yeah. Well, frankly, I think most of us would take a face change.
I had to remind him when I reference his above-ground pool, that it's mythical, okay?
Right.
It's the proverbial above-ground pool he has at his abode.
Right.
I no longer reference where his abode is because I don't want people in his neighborhood getting mad at him or me.
Yeah.
He's now having to shovel his own driveway because somebody's pissed off at something I said about their neighborhood months ago.
If he fell shoveling the driveway.
Oh, by the way, did you shovel your driveway?
I did, yeah, three times yesterday.
Oh, my God. But see, then I will tease so that his face doesn't change and get negative. I will tease saying, well, at least you have a one-car garage, so the driveway that you're shoveling is the size of a patio.
I always
followed
love that
by
one.
This. Followed by this.
I always love that one.
So therefore, now the face won't change because he knows that we're just being guys.
I'm
we're
taking deep breaths. Yes.
When I reference the... See, you went deeper. I mean, you meant it. See, like when I joke about the Chevy on blocks in his front yard.
Right.
Or it's tough to have his toddlers run around in the front yard or the street because of all the broken glass. He knows that's mythical. When I reference one of his toddlers, last time I saw one of his toddlers, she ran out of the front door wearing like a white tank top t-shirt that had peanut butter and jelly on it. And I thought I was in a scene of Cops. He knows I'm joking. You weren't joking on Tuesday when you called him broke.
I
lost
worried.
My guy for
when
a
it
show.
Cuts it bleeds.
I was worried.
It cuts, it bleeds.
Cuts, it bleeds.
Well, you know, what's the old axiom in comedy? There has to be a nugget of truth for there to be humor. And that's why it worked.
The Friday Five, some pertinent football-related stories next, 9 to noon.
And let's do this. National Cash Contest. Let's put a grand in somebody's hand today. I'm not eligible, otherwise I would participate. This hour's keyword is ball. Text the keyword ball to 200-200. It's a national cash contest. Put $1,000 in your pocket. just for listening to The Fan every hour. Text BALL to 200-200. Text message and data rates, of course, do apply.
It's PA in Charge on The Fan.
Winter is coming. Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
It's the Friday 5, 9 to noon.
All right, gentlemen, time for the Friday Five football-related nuggets for the dynamic duo of PA and Charge to sink their teeth into. And I'm going to start with this, two potentially polarizing names this offseason. The first, running back Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh Steelers, or now potentially former running back Pittsburgh Steelers. The second is Nick Foles. I brought this article up with you earlier this week, PA, talking about how the Eagles take the $20 million option of Nick Foles. We want to keep you. Then he does the $2 million buyout to get out of that option. Now, the last effort for the Eagles would be, okay, well, we're going to franchise tag you, which would be roughly $25 million for the year 2019, and then try to trade you for draft assets, personnel, whatever they choose or see fit. So my question to you guys is analyze either potential fits or the future of Le'Veon Bell, and then also kind of the conundrum where there's a statue of Nick Foles in the city of Philadelphia, and they may also want to try to dictate where Nick Foles ends up.
Yeah, and there are many contenders for Nick Foles. Jacksonville, first among them, right? If you want a team that could bounce back from a bad season in a big way with just help at one position, it's Nick Foles dropping into Jacksonville, where they still have an elite-level defense, should have a good running game. They just were getting such terrible play from Blake Bortles and Cody Kessler that Jacksonville makes so much sense as a potential contender. Washington has a need at quarterback because Alex Smith may never play again. His status for next year is very much up in the air.
Yeah.
Denver needs help. They've already effectively said they're going to look for more help beyond Case Keenum. Giants need long-term help at quarterback. Eli's on his last legs. Miami needs help. They're expected to get rid of Ryan Tannehill. And Cincinnati might be ready to move on from Andy Dalton. I think those are all potential places for Nick Foles, Paul. And, you know, if you look back at Foles' career, if you take out the Jeff Fisher year, he was good. He's been good at, you know, he's performed at a high level everywhere else and in every other opportunity. And Jeff Fisher could kill any quarterback. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest in him. And the Eagles may very well apply the franchise tag. The catch is for them. They'll apply the franchise tag and then move him. But the catch for them is obviously they'd be locking down an incredible amount of money that they need for free agency as well.
$25 million,
right? So they'd have to try to put the franchise tag on him and then trade him and then hit free agency. But if they don't get a trade partner, now they've locked themselves into potentially paying a backup quarterback $25 million.
And the right.
One quick follow-up on that, though, Charge. I think if they're initially going to pick up the $20 million option, that the franchise tag would always be one of the cards to play, right? Because otherwise they're saying you were the Super Bowl MVP, you came in a big spot and brought us back to the playoffs this year, we fell short, Superdome, whatever, but as a reward for your works, we're going to let you go out on your own now and actually choose which teams you talk to and how you operate things.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to commit the 20, then it seems almost automatic that they will apply the tag. And for a team that is, as of now, with 2019 contracts rolling in, they're $5 million over the cap as it is, that they're potentially taking a big risk.
My understanding of the 20 bit is that Foles, the $2 million Foles just paid gets him out of the 20.
Yeah, he's out.
No, he is officially out. But I mean, you know, if they put the $20 million option in the first place, my only point was they're definitely intending on putting the tag on.
Yeah, then they'd put the $25 million on him on the tag. I think it's likely because they want to try to get something for Nick Foles, and I think, honestly, I think they will. I think they'll get something from him. There could even be a bidding war because so many teams would look at Nick Foles as a potential solution at the position.
Let's go to Case Keenum. You mentioned the Denver Broncos as a team that may be looking for help and probably are looking for help.
They've said as much, yes.
They have the 10th overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft. Case Keenum, 3,800 yards, 18 touchdowns, and 15 picks in his first season with the Broncos. Team just won 6 games.
Yeah. If you didn't like Kirk's 30 touchdowns, I think you'd be really unhappy with Case's, 16 touchdowns.
Come on!
Now, this article via NFL.com talks about Keenum, basically. Hey, I follow, you know the aw shucks nature of Keenum. Yeah, I follow a little bit of it. I take it for what it's worth. Not something that's affecting me in my prep. I'm just, trying to be a football player. I know what my job is, and it's not affecting it. Well, I look at this team right now, and John Elway, since Peyton Manning is retired, has had big opinions on Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, and now the first season with Case Keenum. So unless John Elway is going to suit up and try and throw passes, maybe it's best to keep the decision-making out of his hand. But the Broncos, again, a 6-10 operation a year ago, are yet again looking at the same problem into the offseason, similarly to how the Vikings are analyzing the O-line. Same year or different year, same problem. They need a quarterback.
Well, and this was part of my whole thing at this time last year with Kirk was, you can go forward with Case, but I think Case leaves you every year. I don't know that you know who your quarterback is. When we look at team needs right now, quarterback's not a team need for this team. It is for the Broncos, and that was part of that's part of why I was on the Kirk camp. Is it solves that team need that you've got at the quarterback position. That isn't a need for us right now. So, yeah, that's the downside that Case gives the Broncos, and now they may very well spend their first-round pick at the quarterback position this year.
Have you guys heard of the Alliance of American Football?
Not only have I heard of it, I'm actually following it a little bit.
Are you doing fantasy AAF?
Can't say right now.
Wow! Verbal ice slip.
Starting tomorrow, Saturday, February 9th.
Football Weekly, 10 to noon tomorrow.
That'll be on
AAF.
That'll be on KFAM Plus.
The Alliance of American Football kicks off this weekend, gentlemen.
Yeah. With the first pick in Paul Charchian's AAF fantasy draft.
Trent Richardson.
Yours truly takes David Cobb, former Golden Gophers running back.
Oh, yes.
So the Alliance of American Football, it will kick off actually starting tomorrow, as I mentioned.
Trent didn't try in the NFL. Why the hell is he going to try in this league?
Because he needs the money. Now he needs the money. He's out of money.
Well,
he said
he was still going for that gold jacket. So maybe now that he's playing, is it the Birmingham Bunglers? Yeah. What's the Birmingham something? Birmingham Iron. I guess that was a bit off.
Before the show,
yes.
Before the co-host arrived,
right?
We vowed to each other. We went too far last week. There will be no ball gag or zipper mask related references today.
Yeah, but I can't help it.
When you said the Birmingham Whats, I wanted to say Birmingham ball gag. But I didn't.
No, you did not.
I'm restraining.
Now, what a great team name that would be, though. God. What would the mascot look like?
It'd be the ball gags, plural.
Yeah, they don't wear helmets. They wear zipper masks.
It'd be the Gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Would it be the gags? Would it be the BGs?
Yeah.
Starting this weekend, it is a 10-week, 40-game regular season that begins this weekend. Wow. The Orlando Apollos are going to host the Atlanta Legends, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. San Diego Fleet, there's actually a game on CBS tomorrow, by the way. On Channel 4 WCCO, you'll get to watch the first game tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
But it culminates with a 4-team playoff that'll be held in Las Vegas at the end of this 10-week period. You have more intel on some of the specific players that are exciting, whether it's David Cobb, Matt Asiata's in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Zach Mettenberger, Christian Hackenberg, former Vikings Christian punter Hackenberg. Jeff Locke is on the
team. Oh, is Jeff Locke there?
Yeah, okay. Former Vikings linebackers coach Mike Singletary is a head coach of a team.
That? Well, isn't Chile one of the coaches
as well?
No,
backed out.
No, he backed out from the Atlanta team.
He did.
And 70% of the players on these rosters, gentlemen, have been in pro camps, and a lot of them have played pro games, mentioning some of the names that you just did. Founded by Charlie Ebersol, he was an NBC guy that helped actually, I think, with Vince McMahon, brought together the original XFL.
Isn't that right?
And that flamed out, so now he's in on this. Bill Polian.
And hold on for just a second.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between this and the XFL, it's tempting to call the AAF, Alliance of American Football, as the next XFL. But the XFL was never serious. It was never run by football people. They didn't have football executives. I mean, this thing is filled with administratively owners, coaches, scouts, front offices that are all NFL people. This thing is dead serious, and they've got the support of the NFL, which is very important. These games are going to be on the NFL Network.
Wow.
This Alliance of American Football thing is pretty legit, I think it's going to have some legs.
Did you see Twitter? Chris Cleveland tweeted us where he wrote, it's at DHorn44, try to be nice and get my wife coffee. She got none. Hashtag driveway ice terrorism, at Paul Charchi and at PA on the mic. And it just shows at least one coffee spilt on
the driveway.
The driveway.
Oof.
Because main man fell or he slipped.
Yeah.
Now I'm hoping.
Is that funny?
Okay. Now if you slip
and
the coffee goes toppling, you don't have to hide behind a car to giggle or laugh.
No, you can laugh about that.
That is
so.
Just,
let me get this straight. Yeah, as far as you
that's
know,
hilarious.
Chris Cleveland's got second degree burns all over his face, and you're behind the car giggling.
If you see skin peeling off of arm or face, again, it's common sense.
Yes.
Anyway, back to the AAF, which I'm incredibly excited about. Some rule changes.
You are not.
I'm going to watch. I mean, we're in the abyss right now, okay? I mean, I'm trying to find a vibe. I've tried to bring the faith back yesterday. Now I'm trying to find a vibe.
Kirk Cousins is in Grand Cayman, and he's tweeting like every 5 minutes. Anyway.
Must be a great vacation. In the AAF.
Could have brought me. I helped get him paid.
the play clock is going to be 35 instead of 40 seconds because they believe that it'll make games longer due to sloppier play that results in stoppages, etc. But they're trying, the initial belief is maybe that speeds things up.
Yeah.
There are no television timeouts during the games and an ongoing effort to have fewer commercials to reduce overall game time to roughly 150 minutes.
Which means they're frauds and they can't sell
ad
time.
They can't sell. Yeah, that's what it's really about.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me we're going to get half as many commercials, I'm a lot more interested in watching.
Mm-hmm. Only replays will be via two coaches' challenges for either team. No automatic reviews. There are no kickoffs. Each team start their drives from their own 25-yard line.
No kickoff. Okay.
No, and let me know if you do like this. I mean, clearly the NFL is not going to adopt these rules tomorrow, but instead of onside kicks, if you want to do your version of an onside kick in the AAF, you'll simply have a 4th and 10 from your own 35-yard line.
Perfect.
If you convert it, you get to keep the ball.
I love it.
If you don't,
They get the ball
deep in your territory.
Plus 35?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I dig that.
I like it too.
It's kind of a cool big spot decision.
The best thing about this entire thing is the from my standpoint, the National Football League gets to hear about it, watch it, and then watch, let's say, 10, 15, 20 examples, and then cherry pick what they like.
Yeah, what works.
What works.
Yeah.
And then use it in their league. And then making a monopoly like it was their idea.
Precisely. One cool thing just to note is that a distinct difference between the NFL and AAF are contracts. I mean, clearly the dollar amounts are different, but here's what they do.
Yeah, Trent Richardson is paying his team to play.
Yes, basically. Every player, whether it's the quarterback or it's a backup, they're on a non-guaranteed 3-year, $250,000 deal. And then the players can earn additional bonuses, performances, fan engagement, those sorts of things as well. So non-guaranteed $250,000 contracts. Again, the season starts tomorrow. San Diego Fleet in the mix. Looking forward to that. And other than notable players, like Rick Neuheisel's a coach. Steve Spurrier is the head coach, the ball coach, is coach of the Orlando Apollos. Mike Singletary is a head coach. You mentioned it, PA, the fact that it has so many NFL connects makes this a hell of a lot more legit than you would ever have thought, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I think we should put some money on it. I think we should each take...
No, don't do
we
this.
We should each take two
you
teams.
You spent a week looking deep diving.
Yeah,
you're
by
an
the
elite
way,
Memphis Express
mind. You owed me $20, according to you, for a month and a half and didn't even tell me.
Well, yeah.
And then now I'm supposed to trust you?
Yes, you are, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And I think we should each take. There's unfortunately there's not nine teams, but we could each take two teams.
Okay.
Whoever wins wins. Whoever's got the winning team gets the championship wins. I can't tell you my first round pick, but I know what team I would go for right now.
I'm in for 100.
I feel like we're getting played here.
Are you in for 100?
Heck yeah.
Are you in for 100?
Yeah, might as well.
Oh, wait a second. You owe him 100. You don't even have it.
I'll double down.
But you're not paying him the 100.
Well, I am going to pay him. The ATM downstairs yes. has money. I'm going to pay the guy the freaky money. Just won't be able to feed my girls for a few days.
See, now you said
now,
that about
that's
yourself.
That's right.
Then
exactly.
Now it is funny.
It's funny when you say it about yourself. But, I mean, he really tore you down the other day.
Yeah, it kind of it hurt at the time.
Well, because he was right. He was telling the truth. But the thing is, you can't say that publicly about people when it's accurate.
You have to
find a way to joke about it. Split levels are making a comeback.
I hope so. Two more nuggets for you. And this one actually is Vikings related.
Hey, by the way, one other quick thing.
And we got to find the teams.
Do you know who the starting quarterback for the Salt Lake Stallions is?
Oh.
Or at least one of the quarterbacks on roster? Matt Linehan.
Oh, he's one of the three. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, Scott's kid. Yeah.
Scott's kid.
Yep.
Did you know that? Do you have any?
Yeah,
I did
know that, actually.
Do you have any intel on Matt Linehan via Scott?
I can't share because maybe that's going to be one of the teams I'm taking in our $100 spotting.
Well, there you go.
Vikings-related nugget here. Kirk Cousins ready to make amends for the 2018. And simply enough, this was from the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
So we each get two teams, right? Okay, go ahead.
Are you feeling the vibe of your two teams already?
No, I'm just trying to figure out who the teams are. Because I knew it was Arizona. I didn't know any of the nicknames. I mean, Charge can feel like he has intel or insight on this all he wants.
I have no idea.
He can be like I'm going to take the Mettenberger Hackenberg team because they're two, NFL quarterbacks who actually play. Okay, great, until they get hurt. And then now all of a sudden you're using somebody who freaking played at St. Olaf.
Yeah.
And you're trying to not lose
$100. Known football powerhouse.
Yeah.
St. Olaf.
Tell me more about Vikings. I think he was undrafted. Jarrell Presley.
Running back
for the Arizona Hotshots.
I think New Mexico State, one of the two.
Indeed. I believe he was one of the Los Lobos. Kirk Cousins, simply enough, wants to make amends for 2018. He was with Dan Patrick last week. I don't know if you saw that interview.
No.
He said, if last year was considered a success, he says his short answer is no. Didn't make the playoffs. High expectations. We didn't deliver. So I've been frustrated since the season ended. We know the stats. We know the $84 million. He just says, I wish the 2019 season started tomorrow, guys, even though he's in Cayman for a month. I'm ready to go and make amends. It's been frustrating to know I have to sit here for whatever it is, 7 or 8 months before we get back at it. It's been a tough January for me. I haven't been sleeping well, that kind of thing, because, it just left a bad taste in my mouth the way the season finished up. So right now, Kirk Cousins, not sleeping in Grand Cayman, tweeting all the time, can't get the 8-7-1 off his mind. What on earth does he really have to make an amends for?
To whom is he amending?
That's what I'm curious about.
I'm not clear on that either. I like the fact that he's at least acknowledging the fact that the season didn't go the way it was supposed to go. So, I mean, he's got that going for him.
Oh, these
teams. Not delusional.
These teams. Let's.
It's unbelievable.
Okay, these teams. Arizona Hotshots, Birmingham Ball Gags, Memphis Express, Orlando Apollos. Okay, let's do this. Fade the music, fire up the feast.
Yes.
Let's bet $100, $100 each.
Okay.
Okay, you have to identify the championship team.
That's right.
There are eight teams. We each get two.
That's right.
And Nordo gets to go first.
And I got 10 weeks to save up the $100.
And it's a snake, okay? Let's make it a snake. So it goes Nordo, me, you, Oh, twice. No, we're not making it a snake.
It is a snake.
Oh, no,
it has
not.
To be a snake.
That's crap.
If I go third, I should be able
I'm
to pick
twice. I'm trying to find a way to put the producer in a spot to get his 100 back.
Which is fine,
because
but if you
guess
give him
what?
The first pick, you just did that.
The AAF championship isn't until like April or May. Mm-hmm. And by that time, I do not believe you will have your 100 from Nordo.
That's right. Probably
so,
not.
I'm just trying.
Why are you doing this to
I'm
me today?
Just trying to make it so he doesn't have to pay and he can just
I
like,
pay my debt.
Here's the
wipe it away.
You're like a Lannister. Here's the problem. I'm struggling to take $100 from his babies. In May, I'm going to have to take $200
take
from his
pleasure
babies.
In it. He said, you falling on the driveway and having Lean Cuisine containers in your face
right.
with food dripping down your chin,
yeah.
he would laugh at that.
That's of course. Point.
That's the one who said that.
Yeah.
Okay, so six teams. We each get two. It goes, because you won the last side spotty.
I'll go last.
It goes Nordo, me, Charch, me, Nordo.
Got it.
You cool with that, Nordo?
I am cool.
Okay, go ahead, Nordo. What you got?
I'm going to start with the aforementioned Birmingham ball gags.
You're taking the Birmingham Iron?
Yes, I am.
The Birmingham Iron, according to this website, the coach is Tim Lewis. The quarterbacks are Blake Sims, Scott Tolzien, running back Trent Richardson, cornerback Ja'Cory Shepherd, and kicker Nick Novak.
Let's do it.
Those are all the players with NFL ties. I am going to select... I am going to select the Arizona Hotshots with my selection. Coached by Rick Neuheisel, quarterback Trevor Knight. That's all I need. One guy with NFL experience.
Now, you said which team?
Arizona Hotshots.
Arizona Hotshots.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
Super Bowl or the championship game is in Las Vegas. This league will be stuck financially by March.
Right.
So it'll make sense for the bus ride from Arizona to Las Vegas to save the league money. It'll make sense for them to go to the championship. So I know from a financial standpoint, I got one of the right teams.
I have the third pick in our AAF team fantasy draft.
Yeah, you're a baby.
And I am taking the Atlanta Legends with Michael Vick as offensive coordinator.
He resigned. Yeah,
no.
Vic out.
No, that's not true.
Oh, yeah, it is. Go ahead and Google it. Vic
okay.
dead. I
Are
saw
you
it this morning. Yeah.
No.
Vic out. I'm telling you.
Are you serious?
He has
and
no Chile dog
resigned
in this
too.
Race.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with the pick. I don't care. I'll take my Denard Robinson, Aaron Murray led offense, and I am sticking with the Atlanta Legends. As
and
my
you have Matt Sims
pick.
And Stephen Hill as a receiver.
I've heard of that, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I also get something called Charles Stanberry Jr.
Great.
As my tight end.
I'd feel good about that.
Now I'm going to go again, and this time I am taking the aforementioned Salt Lake City Stallions
coach
led by head coach Dennis Erickson.
Yeah. Quarterback B.J. Daniels.
That's right. You think I don't love some B.J. Daniels?
And Matt Asiata is the premier running back.
That's right. And Brandon Oliver, who's actually very good.
Of course he is.
And we get Scott Linehan's kid, Matt Linehan. From Idaho as my potential starting.
So you have so Char, are you writing this down, Miko Juice Box?
Yeah, we got it.
Power Trip Betts will end up having this one way or another too.
Yeah, okay. So you have
Atlanta, Salt Lake.
Okay. I am going to take I have the Arizona Hotshots.
Mm-hmm.
I am selecting. Very tough. Has Mike Martz not coached in a Super Bowl
Damn
in his
it.
Life?
Come on.
I'm taking the San Diego Fleet, coached by Mike Martz.
Uh-huh.
The quarterback, by the way, is Josh Johnson, who just played for Washington mm-hmm. at the end of the most recent season.
And he was good.
And running back, former Viking, Bishop Sankey.
Oh, there you go.
I'm in on that.
That's where Bishop
Viking
Sankey
tie.
Ended up.
That's Bishop Sankey.
Wow.
So I have sent. Look at this. I'm all West Coast. I'm West Coast rap. I got five on it.
Mm.
I got Arizona. And San Diego. Tibbs, what do you got?
I am taking, simply because of the coach, I'm taking the Orlando Apollos, led by Steve Spurrier.
Yep. Quarterbacks Garrett Gilbert and Stephen Morris. Wide receiver Frankie Hammond and DB Will Hill.
I think you guys missed it. You had a great opportunity to take the Memphis Express, and you both passed on Zach Mettenberger, Christian Hackenberg. Zach Stacy is the starting running back.
Yep.
And Alton Pig Howard as wide receiver. That is a power lineup. Right?
You passed on him too.
Yeah, so. twice. In back-to-back fashion.
Correct.
All right,
Mike Singletary.
Yeah, money's on the line here for my guys in the cornfields. Best of luck to everybody. Close the show next.
It's PA in Charge on the Fan.
Ain't nothing I can say, nothing I can do. I feel so bad, yeah, I feel so blue. Even if it's me, if it means it's me, what's getting burned? 'Cause I could never.
Hey, during the super cold days, you know, I mean, like last week when we were minus 25, minus 30, minus 40, minus 60.
How about right
whatever.
Now? We're minus 10
okay.
Right now.
Yeah, that's why I bring it up now off this email that I just got, and I'm not saying where it came from. Or whence it came.
You got some insider weather info. You got like
I'm just
Keith Marler hitting you up.
I'm just going to ask you this.
All right.
Like last week, because of the natural gas,
yeah.
there was a statewide, I don't want to say mandate, but respectful
request.
Yeah, respectful yeah. request. If you yeah. can, for the next X amount of hours, put your thermostat down to 63.
Yeah.
Did you?
I lowered my thermostat 4 degrees. Which is the breaking point at which my wife would divorce me. So I made a move on the yeah. thermostat, but not to where their levels are. It would have been there's a point at which it for my particular wife.
I must be too much of a conformist. I must be too much of a softy and or conformist.
Yeah.
You know, now the producer has two toddlers. Okay. So he doesn't want the toddlers to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
So he went down to like 67, 68, something like that.
67, yeah.
67. I went to 63, and I have a 16-year-old daughter who complains about everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, therefore, the difference between a 16-year-old complaining compared to toddlers whining.
Yeah.
The toddlers whining, they're just whining. The 16-year-olds can formulate opinions.
Oh, yeah.
On why they're complaining and, like, bring up examples and put you in a box.
Sure. For that matter. You know, 16-year-old's got it in her capability to ruin your life.
Yeah.
And can do that over something like that.
Okay.
The toddlers really don't.
So generally.
They can only do so much.
Now.
You just swaddle them.
Without getting into house size, you know, amount of levels, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which makes the conversation difficult. But, like, generally speaking, where do you, with minus 16 wind chill right now.
Yeah.
Say it gets to minus 20 tonight. And then tomorrow turns to 8, but like the wind chill's 3, whatever. What is your thermostat number and why?
We are all winter long. We are at roughly 73.
73?
Yeah.
Holy cats.
We're cold all
You're
the
so
time.
You're so inefficient.
Well.
Why don't you
maybe,
care about others?
No, it's really
because
it's
see this email I just
this,
got.
This is about not turning, not freezing. All winter
yeah.
long.
This terrorism I'm looking at,
yeah.
you used 113% more than your neighbors. I stay, I don't live in, let's put it
you,
this way.
Now, when you say you mean you, not
my,
me.
My house is not more than 4,000 square feet, and it's 40 years old.
Yeah.
Okay? So, therefore, I've lived there a year and change. I do have some drafty-related terrorism that needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have one room that's the farthest from the Bryan heating and cooling furnace. That doesn't get so therefore it's probably working harder than it needs to work
yeah.
to keep certain rooms heated. But I keep it at 68 or 69.
I couldn't live there.
Why? Don't it's, you like going to bed
cold.
When it's cold?
Paul.
It's the best when you're cold when you go to who wants to be hot when they lay in bed?
My nipples are clenching just thinking about being in your house.
Whiner.
That's way too cold for livability for me. Now I know there are a lot of Minnesotans that revel in that, but for me,
73.
Yeah, 73.
That's a sauna.
I want to be comfortable. I just want to
put a blanket on.
I'm gonna walk around all day with a blanket around my house.
Be more efficient and care about those who need the natural gas more than you.
Who didn't have natural gas? Everybody who needed natural gas had it, and I think I did my part by lowering my temperature 4 degrees.
But see, this email I'm looking at, that go ahead and shame me a little more. 113% more than your neighbors. Efficient neighbors. There's the number.
Uh-huh.
All neighbors.
Funny how they,
there's the number.
Yeah.
You, with a big red bar, way past them.
Yeah, you're terrible.
Yeah.
You know what happened to
me, Paul? I'm just ruining the neighborhood.
Listen, you want drafty? Listen to this. I've got a sunroom that's off the back of my house.
Of course you do.
Sunroom has, for whatever reason, it's sort of heaved up.
What?
And now my sliding glass door won't even close.
Here's the recommendation.
Yeah.
It set your thermostat to a constant temperature such as 68, which I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really going to happen, with all due respect. When you leave, lower the temperature 10 to 15 degrees to avoid wasting heat. Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be 55
I'm just going to put
degrees?
That thing down at 53.
That's ridiculous.
And then cut where it's already drafty because the house is 40 years old.
That's.
And then I'm going to come in. And then the hardwood floor is freaking ice rink. Come on.
Isn't there an element to keeping it at the same temp so that the furnace, I mean, if you have to get back 15 degrees later on.
Yeah, the furnace is going to work awfully hard
to
make up for all of that.
Charge, you're fantastic. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
Bye.
I'm Paul Allen from the Bryan Heating and Cooling Studios. That's the fun-filled Friday Football Feast Nordo Wrap Shop.
And get all your HVAC tips 9 to noon, no doubt about it. The 9 to noon wraps brought to you by the Paddy Wagon, 61st and Nicollet. I'd give up almost everything I own just to see Charge fall and hear the moans and groans, assess the damage and then laugh, man. What can I say? At least his hair was looking great when he went flying in the driveway. Simple pleasures do get us through the day to the degree it makes us feel better to focus on other people's misery when I fall on the ice or when I can't get up the hill. If I were you, man, I'd be gut laughing still. Can't laugh at the wild, though. What a mess. Loosen the tie on the red-faced coach. He's stressed. The weekend is here, so throw it all in a bag. Can't wait to see my new favorite team, the Birmingham Ball Gags.
Wow. 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 Wow.
High fives for everybody.
I have my vengeance.
Hold on to your butt.
This life or the next.
To listen back to a podcast of today's show, visit the Paul Allen Channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.